All right, everyone, we have a full house tonight. Welcome to the regular council meeting of Roosevelt, the Borough of Roosevelt, June 19th, 2023. It is 7:10 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board, the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published by the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood.
Here.
Mr. Lou Esikoff.
Yes.
Mr. Michael Hamilton.
Here.
Ms. Constance Hertzstrom.
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker.
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell.
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin.
Here. Okay. So I'm sure you all know that we have a few different presentations tonight. And so for that reason, I'd like to ask someone to make a motion to go out of order so we can let our guests speak first.
Second.
Aye.
Are you all in favor?
Aye.
Or you want to do a roll call?
Yes.
I'll do a roll call.
Okay.
Hold on. And that was Connie, second?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so we're out of order.
Okay, we're out of order. So the first item tonight, or the first presentation, is I think we're all meeting for the very first time Mark Posh and Beverly Tepper. And they are the owners of the Crosswick Creek Winery. And they are potential buyers of Beth Battelle's horse farm. And so they're going to make a presentation. This is strictly an informal, sort of casual introduction to them and to what they would like to do at the farm. We're not going to spend a lot of time. I'm sure that they will be here in the future again. But for now, I just wanted everyone to meet them, to hear what they have to say, to, you know, describe the winery that they're anticipating. And also because if everyone is in favor of it, the council, the planning board, then we would have to amend our ordinance to include wineries in the agricultural area. So without further ado, would you like to come up to the microphone? And again, Mark Posh and Beverly Tepper of Crosswick Creek. That's hard to say. Crosswick Creek.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister.
Winery. And what, so I'll let you guys give us an overview, and then I'll allow everyone from the council just a couple of minutes if they have any questions to ask, and it's up to you whether you want to wait around or not, you know, whether you want to stay for part of the meeting, because when we get to the public comment, some members of the public may want to ask you some questions.
Okay, great.
All right.
First of all, I'd like to thank the mayor and the council for inviting us here to describe our vision, our hopes for our adventure to bring to Roosevelt, New Jersey, a winery business. So what we thought we'd do is introduce ourselves first, our backgrounds, and then tell you a little bit about what we plan to do with the property in 64 later on. So again, I'm Mark Pausch. I was raised in the agricultural central Illinois, cornfield right across the street, to a family with winemaking in their bones. My grandfather emigrated from Tuscany from a farm that produced grapes for the local Duke. In those days, those were the folks in Italy that made the wine. He taught me how to prune grapevines. My father made wine in our basement. Now, of course, I was a young man, and so anything done with my father was limited interest, but the seeds were planted. I was educated in Illinois, receiving a PhD from Northwestern University in biochemistry and molecular biology, went on to about a 30-year career in biochemistry and molecular biology, ultimately becoming a neuroscience-related pharmacologist and site team leader for Merck before I transition to my second act, which we hope will be a winery. And Beverly, my partner here.
I'm Beverly Tepper. My day job, I am a professor in the food science department at Rutgers. My area of research is taste and smell. I'm interested in genetic differences between people and how that affects people's perception and liking of different foods and how that plays a role in what they eat. When I'm not teaching or mentoring my students, I'm helping Mark with our vineyard winery effort, and I'm hoping sometime in the near future that I'm going to be able to retire and put my whole effort into that.
So right there, you see we have a lot of the skills and expertise to take the product of the land, the grapes, and turn it into something that we hope customers will enjoy. And so to that end, we encountered 64 Lake Drive, a beautiful property. And I think probably everyone here is familiar with the structures on the property, horse paddocks out front and to the sides, a beautiful arena, horse stables, office and boardroom. If you've ever been in there, they're beautifully appointed. Pine walls, we were just talking about, tin ceilings.
Gorgeous ceiling.
It would be a facility unique in the state of New Jersey where we would turn it into a winery. And to do so, we're required to do a couple of things. One is to put 3 acres worth of grapevines on the property here in Roosevelt. So the wines that we will make will be representative of the soils here in Roosevelt, New Jersey. And indeed, while the winery itself will be called Crosswicks Creek Estate Winery, we happen to have trademarked that, so we're building on that. We'll see, but I think that's what it's going to be named. I think we'd like to recognize the equity, the dream that Beth put into that property, which you may know as Footlight Farm. Now, Beverly and I met in a Beverly and I met at a theater enjoyment class at a junior college. And so to find that Beth had this background in the theater and, in fact, named her farm after that experience has caused us to offer her the naming of the actual vineyard on the property, the Footlight Vineyard. And so you would be able to, once the wines are made, be able to purchase the actual product of the grapes grown in Roosevelt. Our other property is in Allentown. It's on Province Line Road. Some of you may even know it. It's the vineyard on the left side of the road, if you're going in the right direction, obviously. We have 7.5 acres there. We would have to add 3 acres here at a minimum in order to meet ABC requirements, that is the Alcohol Control Board for New Jersey. So we would have 10 acres of grape growing area to start with that would yield on the order of roughly 2,000 cases of wine, perhaps a little more, depending on the year, perhaps a little less, which we would hope to then convert into roughly 20 varieties. We have 19, and we have a dream for one more that, at least one more, that might go here in Roosevelt. The buildings, then, what will we do with those? The grapevines will be planted in the open paddocks. The horses presently are producing some superior soil. in fact, maybe too good for grapevines. But that being said, we are all here living on what used to be the bottom of the ocean when the oceans were much higher, and the sandy loam soil is actually ideal for the growing of grapes, and with a little bit of organic matter added, can't think of much better. So we think the soils are going to be wonderful and will produce a distinctive wine characteristic of Roosevelt. At present, we're looking to try to get into business as quickly as possible. So if you're aware of the facility, there is the very large arena that you can see from the street. Behind that, the stable and the office and boardroom. Next to it is a shop. It's a woodworking shop. They store presently some of their equipment in there. But that building has a large advantage. It has a concrete floor. It's very hard to move around very large volumes of wine and the equipment needed to make the wine on dirt floors. On the other hand, dirt floors make for renovations of the floor easier. So what we would propose to do, at least in the beginning, is to use the shed as the initial winery production facility. That is, we'd make the wine in that building. It would take limited amount of renovation, and we could get started as soon as we could get grapes approved and our license, of course, from the ABC to make wines for the purposes of sale. We would then also turn the office and the boardroom and the associated restroom and maybe a couple of rooms from the horse barn, into the tasting room. And that would be our initial opening stages, maybe stage one. It's called stage one.
The vast majority of the changes are inside rather than outside.
Yeah, we don't anticipate any significant changes to any of the exteriors other than maybe the large doors on the sheds being sealed permanently so as to allow the interior space to be conditioned. In the event that we build it and they come, and we can start using some of that cash flow for the purposes of finishing out the business, we anticipate subdividing basically the stables, a portion into a larger tasting room area, and a portion into an expanded wine production area. We'll be cramped in the shop. I'm used to cramped right now. We sell much of the grapes from our present vineyard, but we also make wine in our garage.
That
not for sale.
You cannot sell.
For personal consumption. And for figuring out, obviously, how to make wine. I mean, you can talk about making wine, but if nobody wants to buy it because it doesn't taste very good. So we think we've solved many, if not all, of the problems, at least at our present level of production, to getting to wines that we are at least happy with. With an ongoing business, then, and the cash flow from it, we would then do the modifications to the horse barn and to the arena, converting that into what we would hope would be a unique wine garden of the kind maybe you would find in Austria or in France, covered, let's say, nice and cool even in a hot New Jersey summertime, with still a feel like you're outdoors, and you can put picnic tables perhaps early on, maybe pea gravel on what is now a horse display area, and then see how it goes from there. We are hopeful, obviously, to turn this into an ongoing business. So an ongoing business means customers buying wine and enough wine to pay the bills. So it is our goal to get this whole operation going, sell wine, see what the folks that come visit us like the best, and perhaps make more.
And I just want to add, it is our fervent hope that if this does go through and we come here to Roosevelt, that we can be part of the community. Through discussions with folks around here, we understand that there's no place communally to come together and to meet, you know, to just talk. And so we're hoping that we can be integrated as part of this community.
I just have a couple of questions to begin with. So customers would come and buy bottles of wine, but you also anticipate having the garden setting where they can buy a bottle of wine and sit there and drink it.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
And how would it work with children? Could people bring their children? They just couldn't drink wine?
We haven't actually resolved that yet.
Okay.
I think, you know, again, as
for under said, 18 is what I
under 18,
or 21.
I mean, we would obviously
what,
not
yeah.
be able to sell, but, you know.
You can bring them right now.
They can't go in the tasting room.
Ah, okay, they can't.
I bring my kids to the winery all the time.
Yeah.
They just can't go in the tasting room.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And so if,
in most places.
You know, this arena were to be converted into, you know, basically a large communal seating area. There's space there for, you know, potentially game areas. Everybody's favorite is bocce. I'm not sure why, but
I was like, this would be great for a bocce.
A portion of that area we would by necessity have to turn over to some of the winemaking processes. If you're familiar with winemaking, there's an area called the crush pad. It's where all the grapes come in and get turned into grape juice. That's a process done best outdoors, where you can clean it up more easily. And so, it's that portion of the proposed expanded winemaking area in the stables really doesn't have great accessibility to a large open area, except under the canopy of the area. So we would probably put a big slab there, a concrete slab, to allow us to.
What do you envision in terms of parking and making a parking area? Would that be impervious surface? And how many parking spaces do you need?
Right. So there is already a small parking lot. I think we would start there by requesting a modest adjustment of the size and shape of that so as to facilitate perhaps up to a 30-car parking lot. We would have to find out what the codes would require in terms of getting access in and out. There is a single-lane road there that allows access. Beyond that, obviously, there are concerns about runoff from impervious surfaces, so we'd have to deal with whatever the codes require. Were we to go much beyond adjusting the existing parking lot? We'd also want to consider ultimately what the demand is over time and how much parking we would really need in order to make sure that we don't impinge on the neighbors.
Is anyone else? Would you be selling some? Would you be selling some food like cheese and crackers, or people could bring their own, or prepackaged?
I think let me first start off by saying we have no intention of doing food production on site. If we were to bring in, say, food trucks, or we would have the statutes related to right to farm, say, are foods attendant to the agricultural activity, so cheese plates, charcuterie, crackers, those sorts of things would be available. I think we would probably think hard and long about whether we wanted people to bring in their own food. Certainly, they wouldn't be allowed to bring their own. But I know we've talked to a lot of folks
counterintuitive.
a little bit against the whole strategy, right? But we've heard a lot of people complain about some wineries that don't allow you to bring water, for example. And we're not in the business of selling water, so it might be that you eat our food, bring your own water, drink our wine. Maybe that's a nice
Everybody's
balance.
Happy.
Anyone? Well, we would have water as well.
Will you be making grappa also?
Well,
at Easter.
He'd like to.
You got all those.
As an individual of Italian descent, grappa is one of my favorites. I've got some great stories to tell you about grappa, but I won't waste your time now. We can't. It's a separate license. Grappa is
higher alcohol level?
Yeah, it's higher, right? Much higher. Right?
It's a distilled product, and you'd have to have a distiller.
It's good stuff, though, you know. Yeah.
Some of us think it's like gasoline.
Yeah.
Anyone else from the council table?
Do you think it's an organic grape growing business, or would you be using fertilizer that would be running off into the land?
I doubt, and I say this without having done any soil sampling, but just understanding the practices that Beth has carried out on that land, that fertilizers would be not needed. Grapes and grapevines are very good on poor soils, and in fact, I wasn't kidding. It's sometimes better to have poor soils for grapevines, because they tend to make the extremes of flavor that turn into the things that are really characteristic about wines if they're stressed. Organic is a very large challenge in New Jersey. this semi-tropical climate we live in, the last 2 months or so aside, which has been beautiful, I think we would not have a likelihood of success if we didn't manage the vineyard with some pesticides.
All right, I guess I'll allow the public to ask a few questions. I'm sorry.
Well, Councilman, we can put aside some grapes if you would like. We're a no fee.
Anyone else from the table or from the public have any questions? Okay. Bert?
I have an assistant that's coming to help me. But she's been going to read the wine, I understand, the water.
Could we have that repeated for the mic? We're really going out of order here, so can you just? We didn't hear Bert.
Be planning events at our property.
Yeah.
First, I should say we have no relation whatsoever to Loretta.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
But we would be considering having a small number of festivals, perhaps a seasonal festival, spring, summer, and fall, something like that. We would be considering providing, as I mentioned before, food in terms of cheese plates. We could have food trucks there as well, on even regular weekends.
I have to tell you that I'm very much in favor of this. And I think that it's in an agricultural zone. So, I assume there should be minimal requirements here. So congratulations.
Okay, for the record, that was Bert Ellentuck, 22 Homestead.
That's true.
I'd like to say proud of it.
I can tell.
Mike, can you speak really loudly and identify yourself if you do it from back
loudly.
There? Okay.
Michael Tipton, 37 Rough Valley Road. My question is, you mentioned I believe you said something about having 3 acres that you would use in connection with the growing grapes. Okay. How is that going to relate to the fact that the statute requiring 5 acres for farmland assessment?
Good. So farmland assessment and meeting the 5 acres. The 5 acres include the land under the buildings. So 3 acres plus all the buildings and all the parking lots, et cetera, count toward the 5. Now, there is something that the council will have to take into account, and that is that at present, the property is farmland assessed due to the ongoing activities of Beth's business. There will be a period there where there will be no agricultural production on that property. Now, we will, of course, be able to bring grapes from elsewhere, but those 3 acres, at a minimum, won't be producing for, at a minimum, 3 years. Now, as I understand the rules, if we can provide you with a satisfactory plan, that is sufficient to meet the agricultural assessment requirements for the borough, and that's what we would be proposing to do.
Is that a state thing or a borough thing?
Tax assessor. Under the supervision of the County Board of Taxation.
So it is a borough thing, then?
Yes.
I thought
it's a state thing.
So the tax assessor works here. However, the tax assessor, the rules that he's referring to are state division of taxation rules administered by the County Board of Taxation. So we don't have any
5 acres
for farmland assessment.
Any assessment, your house, any kind of assessment of that nature goes to the tax assessor. But that's not under the council's supervision. It's under the supervision of the County Board of Taxation.
I was just clarifying something, confusing a little bit. You said it's not going to produce for 3 years, right?
Right.
When do you plant?
Well, we'll plant as soon as you give me the permission.
Okay, so as soon as you plant it in agriculture.
Right.
What am I missing?
Well, because it takes at least 3 years for the plants to get big enough to produce enough grapes that I can make enough wine that I can sell to produce the sales that
I don't
think.
But agriculture is taking place as soon as you begin planting.
The technical rules for farmland assessment require 5 acres in the production. And it goes with inflation, so don't quote. It's like $600 or more per year.
I think it's 1500.
It's up to 1500. Oh, poor farmers. So the $1,500 of sold agricultural products. The gentleman's saying is for 3 years, because the nature of grapes, he's not going to be able to sell anything. I'm sure there is a division of taxation rule on that with all the wineries in New Jersey.
Now, that is for 3 years from the production from that site. Now, we'll have grapes coming in from Allentown. So we'll have sales, but we can't use that to apply to the amount that's necessary.
Right. I'm sure that, and I don't know that off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's a division of taxation rule that helps people who have agricultural products that don't mature for more than the assessment year. So.
It's all in Monmouth County, so that might help, you know, adding the two together from one county. It's a county commissioner that deals with this. So, yeah.
Mike, you have another.
Say, as a former tax assessor of Roosevelt, I can... it is accurate to say that as long as it's in process, that you know that the that there will be this production, even though in the immediate period it may not be, because if that is in process to get to that point,
right.
It would be
produced. Those grapevines will be there for anybody to see.
No,
I have a water question.
Identification.
Name
and address.
No, Sheriff. Okay.
Now.
I have a water question. I don't know if she's on borough water or if she has a well.
Yeah, there's a well.
Because she has a well. Okay, because grapes take a lot of water.
Well, no, they don't, as it turns out. They grow just fine in California.
Yeah.
And actually...
might be grew because they've been raining every day.
Well, they've been fortunate in the last few months. As it turns out, a drought... towards the end of the growing season, where the grapes can be concentrated a bit, is actually very good for wine.
Actually, last year when we had the drought in the summer, was the best year for growing grapes in New Jersey in 40 years, from talking to our colleagues that have run vineyards for that period of time. Excellent, excellent grapes.
Marston, before we talk about how wonderful it is in California, my son just parachuted into an Irish.
Right.
So it depends on where you are. Anyway, my other question is on events. Driving past whatever that decoy place is, duck thing in Windsor.
Working dog?
Yeah, it used
working
to be
dog.
The duck.
Yep.
When they have events, there are 300-400 cars there.
Well, we won't have space for three.
Yeah, but people aren't going to know that.
Well, I think we'll have to work with the borough to manage.
It's not going to affect my home because I'm on the other side.
But there are people right there.
Yeah.
We don't want to to disturb their peace. There's a reason why people move to Roosevelt. But there will be limitations, and we'll have to work through whatever those are in order to balance the sort of objective of producing a viable winery business while being a good member of the community.
Are you going to have a tasting room in Allentown also?
No.
I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't hear. What did you ask?
Are you going to have a tasting room in Allentown also? And that's Crosswick Creek, so Providence Line crosses Crosswick Creek. Or what's
it's technically an upper freeboard. It's close to that.
Ellen, and then we should really wrap it up.
Ellen Silverman.
Is there any last question, burning question that anyone has? All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Mayor.
And
Council.
I think we're
excellent
really
presentation.
Happy.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll be.
Thanks for choosing Roosevelt.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sure.
Do you anticipate any more discussion or?
I don't think so, because originally I was going to save all the questions for the public comment, but we sort of just went out, completely out of order, and I allowed everyone to ask you now.
Thank you for coming.
Mayor. And I'd just like to go on the record as saying that I really appreciate Beth Battelle giving a lot of consideration and care for who she sells her farm to and what takes place at the farm. And she put a lot of time and effort into making sure it was something that would really be beneficial to Roosevelt and that people would be happy with. So we appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion and see how the council feels about this, about having Dave Stittler's presentation before we do Ellen's underwater story.
Oh, I thought we were. Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah, it's not kind of listed in that order, but right. I think most people are here for that. I was just ready to introduce
Dave.
Yeah, and
Dave.
I don't think they should have to slog through all of our business or anything.
Oh,
like
no,
that
no. I actually, if I hadn't looked down or you hadn't just said that, I would have introduced Dave.
No, that's great. Good.
Okay.
Good. That's
I wouldn't make him sit through the rest of our
business.
Okay. So let me introduce Dave Stittler. Well, Connie, I'm sorry. You do that. It's okay.
Good. All right. For anyone who is here who doesn't know exactly what's happening around the amphitheater, basically, basically, we've seen that the amphitheater has been in need of restoration, and it so happens that Monmouth County was offering grants to boroughs that qualify up to about $500,000, of which the borough would be responsible for half of it, ultimately. I mean, it starts out with a whole. We had put together a committee that are the stakeholders in Roosevelt that we wanted input from to decide how we were going to use, you know, this, what did we want from it, what was the interest, and we had people, you know, from the school board, from the Fund for Roosevelt, you know, from the Environmental Commission, Planning Board, the original designer, you know, Bert, a couple residents, you know, that has experience with landscape architect. And an architect himself. So we have about 10 people, you know, on the committee. And we've been meeting for about the last, you know, 6 months to go through the process. And, of course, one of them was to choose the landscape architect that we wanted to use for this project. And at this point, what we're looking for is information from the public, to get to see the concept design. There isn't everything there because the committee is still responsible for working, you know, with the consultant, you know, in this project to make things happen. So we just wanted to be able to show, you know, what it is that we're trying to do. So David, he is with ETM Associates, LLC, and he's ready to give the presentation on the design.
Would you like us to lower the lights?
Thank you. I appreciate that. So thank you all for coming, and I will give you a brief presentation of the conceptual design that we have developed for the FDR Amphitheater. So I thought I would start with just giving a quick kind of recap to orient everyone with what our existing conditions are on the project site. So here we are looking down. This is the school building here, and this is the existing amphitheater with this orchestra area, the seating terraces, and then of course we have the existing asphalt pathway network and existing trees shown. And we can utilize this just to kind of reference the changes that we are proposing in our concept plan. So just we can circle back to this. We're kind of trying to take a mental image of what we've got there. And, of course, just a few photographs on the right showing the existing condition of the pathway leading up to the backside of the actual amphitheater itself. And so as part of our initial investigations, we actually sent out our engineer, we have a site civil engineer on the project, and they went out, and we actually, as part of our submission for the application for project authorization to the NJDEP, they're the folks that are kind of governing this for the historic preservation components of the project. And it'll be a requirement for us to just ensure that we've turned over all the rocks and really checked out the situation. And ultimately, this assessment is going to guide our approach toward addressing this existing infrastructure and really how we intend to approach it, whether we would like to do a preservation approach or a rehabilitation or reconstruction approach to the actual project work. And ultimately, what our engineer had determined is that really doing some type of, although he notes reconstruction there, really a preservation approach we have deemed is likely not an option, and therefore what we're really attempting to address is the approach of reconstruction / rehabilitation. So over the last, let's say, month or so, we've been working with the borough and the committee on this project to develop a preferred conceptual design. And we've previously, over the last week, presented a number of design concepts. And ultimately, as a group, we have kind of come up with a preferred plan of sorts. And so this design that we're talking about here would involve a complete removal and rebuilding of that amphitheater. And we can use some new or different materials and some original materials. And the design will also allow for some changes to occur, namely the addition of a side stage and, most importantly, an ADA-accessible ramp to access the lower orchestra area of the amphitheater, essentially the lower areas where you currently can only access via wheelchair. You only have stairs currently. So as part of the RFP that the borough had put out, there were some very specific requests for improvements to this property, including addressing any existing tree trimming or removals that may occur, repairs to the utility shed, cleaning and repairs to the monument itself, the actual the bust, and electrical supply and lighting, both accent and pedestrian, that we intend to install as part of this project. Outdoor power pedestals. Now, what that refers to is providing some type of electrical source for temporary events that you may have. So your annual school graduation, you'll be able to set up AV equipment relatively easy in relation to what you may have to do at this point. Also, just general pathway improvements, and of course, most importantly, new planting. Trees, shrubs, perennials, whatever ultimately the conceptual design specifies. So, with all of that, here's an image of the proposed design. So, right quick, I'm just going to jump back a few slides, and just take note of that existing pathway network that you see there, and the new proposed design. So, ultimately, the amphitheater space itself will be reconstructed in its original vision, again, with some minor updates to materiality. And we can talk about that in a little further detail in upcoming slides. But really, the major updates or changes to this project, or to the project area, really entail a revision of the existing pathway network here, coming from this location at the road crossing. So that road crossing right there is at the corner intersection where there already is an existing intersection and pathway. And if you notice when we go back, currently we don't have a pathway leading from that other than the sidewalk in which you would have to turn in. And that was one of the key features that we wanted to really work on when thinking about this project as a whole, was allowing for better connections, for pedestrian connections throughout the space. So again, we've maintained a connection here as per original design, but really kind of reimagined that and strengthened the connection from that roadway to the parking area and the school to the north, and most importantly, perhaps, is creating a very, very strong pedestrian access straight from your monument location all the way back. So when pedestrians primarily visit the space, either from the roadway or from the parking area, they enter in a strong processional way. And we're strengthening that, of course, by utilizing a linear access and also allowing a strong outlay planting of trees from the north down to the south, which will really strengthen that procession and experience within the space. So in addition to that, we also have a secondary pathway on the side that, again, connects to the sidewalk. And what this primarily provides is handicap accessibility, not only just to the top. So currently, in the existing design, let me go back one more time, the only truly accessible location for handicap access would be at this top rung here. So a wheelchair can come to this area and reach this top portion of the amphitheater. Other than that, there is no current access. And what we're striving to create is a method of allowing visitors to actually get down to the bottom of the amphitheater and enjoy that space within the orchestra area, which we've accomplished through an ADA ramp that leads from the roadway or this pathway connection here. We've also included an additional path that leads up to the upper area, where this is also additional temporary or as-needed space where you could set up chairs or just have additional seating. So ultimately, that is the general layout revision to the pathway network. And now digging into the amphitheater itself, we really are not rewriting the book in any way. We're in fact going to verbatim reestablish this design as a whole. And again, all we really intend to revise or change would be some of the materiality used within the actual seating and paving areas. So currently it's a brick construction with some concrete paving in locations and exposed to aggregate concrete paving. And ultimately, we absolutely intend to utilize those materials. We just intend to tweak them in some minor ways. So for instance, you'll notice these blue bands here. Now, those are the actual seat walls themselves. And we will construct them in their same original vision of brick. However, this opens the opportunity for us to apply a bluestone, perhaps, a cap to that, to create just a more comfortable seating component. And again, we would have that concrete serving as the actual structure and bones of these seating terraces and the paving surface. And then when we get down into the lower orchestra area of the amphitheater, that space is currently, all of these bands are brick and the larger fields are concrete. And what we're potentially proposing is to kind of change those materials so the bands themselves are now bluestone and the larger fields of paving could be brick. And perhaps we have this linearity running through where this could still be an exposed aggregate concrete. So same design, minor revisions and interpretations to really update that and create a little bit more of a comfortable space. And I suppose next up we can and should talk about horticulture and tree removal. So within the space we've got several older trees throughout this area. I'm going to just jump back a few slides again and just show that we have two very large mature trees and a smaller grove of mature dogwoods. So these are smaller ornamental trees, most of which is rather aged. And what we are, again, proposing is to remove and replant that in a very kind of regimented alley format with these trees to really, again, strengthen that linearity and feeling of procession as you enter into the site, as a visitor enters into the site. So that's a primary planting component. And additionally, we will go through and propose to remove any dead trees that we have or dying trees that are within the woodland. There are a number of ash trees that are kind of on their way out or are already dead due to the ash borer that's running through the region. And so we'll clear out any trees that we may have, this large dead tree just in front of the well. And there's a very nice large holly here that's sort of been inundated with live underbrush. It's our intent to pull all of that out and replant at the bases of these areas, in particular where the holly is, and in this location where this existing tree has died, and perhaps even some shrub planting to kind of backdrop the monument itself and really create this visual cue and a backdrop for the monument. So in addition to all of these features that we've talked about, we will of course include lighting, which has two primary components, one being to effectively light the monument itself, and of course just create a safe condition for the pedestrians. So that may include pathway lighting along, and perhaps even some recessed lighting within the amphitheater itself, much like it currently has. If you're aware, there is infrastructure within the existing stairways of the amphitheater that had lighting at a point. Now it's non-functional, and we intend to bring all of that back online. And this space right here, which is a brick retaining wall, that sort of matches one on the left side, and they were intended initially as a location to plant large trees. And this location still does have a tree or two within it in fine shape. However, this one, there may have been a tree there in the past, has died, stump has been removed, and the group generally agreed that it might be a good idea, as opposed to replanting a tree in this location, to allow this zone right here to serve as a stage. So that could really kind of bring in opportunity for additional programming in the future. Perhaps you have small bands, and this space could even serve as a dance floor, and of course you have sort of like an audience, so to speak. So those generally are our primary recommendations for this concept plan. And I suppose lastly, we should just note here that we do propose also a small multipath that leads into the wooded area and kind of hooks up with the trailhead that's existing right in this general vicinity to the south of the shed itself. So that, in general, is the design, and we can elaborate upon that a little bit. So this is a section drawing of the site, and you're looking at it from this view here, this end being this location, and this end down here being this location. You've got the bust of FDR, the woodland off to the southern end, and a visitor that is within this space. Right about here, if a person is standing, they would be able to walk that way and access the ADA pathway, or they could choose to travel north up the existing stair sets and onto the alley pathway over here. And this section drawing is just meant to illustrate the existing condition, of course, which we're really not adjusting in all that much at all within this area. It serves and functions as it always has. However, we're adding on this additional layer of the alley to, again, strengthen that entry and exit into the property. So at this point, I can talk a little bit about the materiality and some selections that we've been talking about throughout this conceptual design process. So this is an image of the existing condition here. This is one of those retaining walls that's holding back a tree. And again, it's brick construction with a brick cap on top of it. And we love this. It's a fantastic materiality and serves the area quite well. However, we've been talking a little bit about incorporating bluestone into this. And here's just an image for representation of what a brick wall with a bluestone cap could look like. Now, of course, this isn't the brick that we are specifying. We're going to opt, of course, to potentially closely match the existing brick that you have within the project currently. So don't take these images for exact face value, but they're really just kind of a representation to help you understand what we might be going for. So this here is a very close match to the exposed aggregate concrete that you currently have throughout the project area. And then, of course, we have a lot of asphalt pathways. We are proposing to revise some of those layouts and just get you a new, good, high-quality asphalt path, potentially with a nice steel edging on it, so you have a good longevity and you don't get any of those degradation issues over time that can commonly occur with asphalt pathways. going back to, this is an image that I think that, that is important to note, that that brick in a large paving field, these big squares with these bands of bluestone around them, is essentially an exact representation of what we're proposing here. Again, those large brick fields with that bluestone edging could really provide a great feel of, for the paving surfaces and just how the space really, really works. So that's paving and hardscape materials. And we're also, again, like working on developing lighting components. And there are two aspects to this. One, really effectively illuminating the monument itself. These are just two representative images showing what those potentials could be and how that may work. So here's an option where we have some type of solid surface backdrop that can kind of cast light back. Here, that's being accomplished in a similar way with uplighting and a backdrop of planting, which is really currently what we're more so exploring as opposed to a hard surface backdrop. And then secondly is just pedestrian lighting. Now, of course, we will look into bollard lights and pole lights for pedestrians, maybe in the 12-foot range, but also there's that opportunity for integrated lighting within the actual steps and seating elements within the amphitheater, which you currently have. Very similar to this design, where you have these unit lights that are on the stairway. And we can manage to accomplish those and potentially so much more. The lighting that we see here is more of a strip light. It's kind of like, think of a string of Christmas lights, but really kind of designed in a more industrial or commercial way, where they can be integrated into the lip of a bench and, or linear seating element and really create a pretty dramatic look. And then horticulture. So the mantra here would really be low maintenance planting with dear hardy evergreens and potentially some spring flowering bulbs. We could certainly also integrate some ferns into that. But I mean, of course, we're in deer country and it's a limited palette that we can really explore and work with. I live in deer country, potentially just as bad, if not worse, than the region that we're in now. So I personally am a gardener, and I want to assure everyone that you'll be in good hands when it comes to plant selection, because I know it will be really difficult to find a palette that that will be as beautiful and effective as we want, while also being as sturdy and robust against our furry friends. So selective tree removals, as I noted before, there are definitely a few that we've identified, and of course we'll further that once we get into design development and construction documentation. Tree pruning is going to be another aspect where we're definitely going to take a hard look at all of your trees, and like ultimately the notion is that when we're done here, you've got a new lease on this space, and your mature plant material will be cared for. We've got pruning removals that may need to happen, limbing up of branches, changing the shade conditions if we so choose, things of that nature, and brush clearing as well. And that brings us to like probably one of the more important components of the planting would be this tree LA that we're proposing. And there are a number of options for trees that we can select and kind of go with like a classic French option and go with a horn beam. That's what these are here. It's a medium to small sized tree that really responds well to trimming and has just a great form and a good scale. Or we can go with something that's a little more full size, like a red maple or a honey locust, something of that nature. Full size, yet not too overbearing and brooding, nor too large for that matter. And lastly, the all-important utility shed upgrades. So this is the existing structure that's just south of our site. It's within the site, but it's kind of the southern portion that tucks into the woodland. And this tree that you see here behind has died. And all of that green on it is actually just a vine that has choked out this tree over the years. And we're going to clear that out. Ultimately, the intent would be to fully remove the roof structure, rebuild new, and remove and repair the door to this side, which actually has the utility panel within it. And then you have this wonderful space on the right side when you're facing it that we could put in a single wide door or a double door and restore that and allow that to serve as some kind of program support space. So for instance, you have a number of chairs that are kept at Borough Hall. Perhaps you could actually take some of that and lighten load here and apply some of your storage needs to this area and facility. And we would include a concrete pad in the front if we were able to. So I should note that once we enter into this space, it is a wetland it's a wetland. And I believe we would have to delineate it as part of this project, something that we can talk about. But ultimately, essentially make repairs to this, get it back up and running in a good condition. This is like a lighting mast that's on top of the structure currently. We can upgrade that, update it, and get this utility shed to a state where we're ready to take that and run power supply out to our project site for lighting and utility hookups for programming, etc. And I believe that does it. So I tried to keep it pretty brief just in case anyone wanted to discuss this or had any questions.
Well, there's actually a public hearing now. So thank you so much for your presentation. And I'm going to open the floor for the public hearing at 8:06 p.m. Joe, do you want to hit the lights, please?
Yep.
Someone?
Public hearing on this?
Yes.
For the grant application.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should read the whole thing now that I have some light.
We should open up officially.
Okay. So the public hearing regarding the County of Monmouth Municipal Park Improvement Grant Program 2023 for the restoration of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial Amphitheater and Grounds located on that part of Block 3, Lot 33, which is the Roosevelt Public School. So I'm going to open the public hearing for the grant application at 8:07 p.m. When you come up to the mic, don't forget when you come up to the mic to state your name and address. So, Rick.
Good evening. I'm Rick Pressler, 23 Farm Lane. My question is about the suitability of the amphitheater as a performance space. Possibility of a side stage, which seems a little oddly positioned to me, but one of the challenges of the space now is that it doesn't support performance very well. And you mentioned lighting for pedestrians and for highlighting the monument, but is there lighting contemplated that would support performances, and what are some of the other features that would make it more suitable as a performance space?
Okay, a good question. And with the nature of having a temporary space. So we talked a lot about permanent infrastructure. There was even question about if we set up an AV system, have speakers out there, things of that nature. And generally, we're attempting to avoid hitting out too much and too far because the changing nature of any programming that we may choose could, in fact, end up being, like, let's say if we have a larger group that wants to perform, it absolutely could be held right within the orchestra at the southern space, or if we so chose, this could serve as a dance floor, and we could utilize this space as a stage. And we didn't really want to hem ourselves in to a specific definition of that. So essentially, we're providing, again, support for what we know are dedicated uses and permanent uses, meaning that lighting associated with the monument and generalized pedestrian lighting throughout. But really, for any type of performance or event, we would enlist as needed kit, both for AV as well as any additional lighting that might be needed. Yes, Bert.
Were you finished, Rick?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bert, do you want
to? Yeah, a couple of things.
Bert, your name.
I'm glad to see in your section that you have shown high-headed trees. I think that's the right solution because otherwise you would close the whole amphitheater in. Second thing is we've gone from water in the center to grass in the center, and we're now going to concrete in the center. That's a very large change, and I think, and it reduces, and then you
interrupted that with a walkway going right down the middle, which I find that very disturbing, that whole thing. Because I don't understand it. I don't understand and I don't understand this handicapped access coming through the center of the seating area, or the standing area, which is more like it, or the standing area. You haven't solved the problem of where the handicapped person is going to sit. The upper path is the solution to the problem, because you can, as we discussed, you can add another area back there, excuse me, and just paving, raised paving, with slightly raised paving, and make it much easier for the handicapped to access that area by coming through the upper path.
Mm-hmm. Fully accessible. Accessible through there from the pathway coming to the
You already have two ways to get the handicapped space. You get the main alley, and then you get the path at the top where the handicapped space should be, without any trouble.
I can't
see coming into the middle of what's going to be the action, essentially, because that whole area, especially if it's covered with concrete now, is going to be the performance area. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the graduations there. We're going to have the band there, and any actual event will take place on that area, which is now bisected by a path. So far as this over here, we don't have enough. This is a raised area.
Yes.
This is already a raised area.
Yeah.
And it has that tree in the middle.
There's currently no tree.
If you're going to make it an extended part of the stage, we talked about putting the band up here.
It could be. Or down below, based on
needs. It doesn't make any sense down below. From my point of view, it doesn't make any sense down below. But it makes a lot of more sense up here, where more people can see it. And since there's no tree there anymore, it lends itself to being paved.
Yep, it certainly could be. Yeah. As a group, there was a discussion about whether we ought to show this and depict it as just a turf area or paved turf one.
No.
I don't see
the back wall here.
No back wall shown. Currently showing planting as sort of that backdrop.
You showed it on one of the slides. You showed something on one of the slides.
Off
showed the back wall.
Yes.
Which I think is an important thing, because one of the things it does, we talked about the fact that this is the Roosevelt Memorial. There's nothing here that says, why do we have a memorial to Roosevelt?
Well, the devil's in the details. And what we are talking about is applying an inscription on the paving band. So as visitors come down, they will be able to encounter a message on the ground.
Walk over the inscription.
That's correct.
And I doubt that there'd be enough room to put down everything that ought to be down here. I mean, if you just say Franklin Delano Roosevelt, born, died, President of the United States from 1932 to
to 1946 or 1944, I'm not going to have much room left.
Thank you, Bert. And I guess we it should be noted that Bert was the original architect for this amphitheater. I mean, what, Bert,
1962? I don't know, 62 years ago.
Okay, Nona?
Nona Sheriff.
Can you come to the mic, Nona?
I usually am loud enough. You should know that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, first of all, it's very discriminatory to any kid in graduation that has to get to the front. All the kids come down, they walk down the stairs, and they go to the front. This kid can't do that. They have to walk all the way over, go in their chair, walk all the way over, come down, then come down the bottom, and not be with their class. It's just, the whole thing is wrong. As a teacher, it's just wrong.
May I suggest, because you could have children that are handicapped, the way they're walking down, it doesn't mean that the whole class, because they have a handicapped student, couldn't go down.
Yes, it
and
does.
All go down.
Because what
to
about
there.
All the people on that side? They're not going to see their kids walking down. They're only going to see them coming across that short path and walking towards them. So
you can have them recess back up towards the audience.
Well, you know, if you want to plan that way, you should plan properly for the kids because it's discriminatory.
Okay.
Next, I have issues with, is there going to be water available on the property?
No.
We currently do not have water source on the property.
Like a water fountain?
Either a water fountain. There has to be water access because there used to be a fountain in the middle. So there's water there. It just has to be looked for.
Are you talking about
Are you talking about for drinking?
Or
right. Or
drinking water, even regular water.
As
How
as
are you
going to
water these beautiful plants that nobody's going to take care of?
No, we discussed that in committee about having a water source, like basically, you know, for a hose or some
yeah,
method
there has to be
water,
a water source.
Everything.
And who's going to take care of this beautiful shrubbery? Because I
works.
Was here when this happened. I'm Bert and I and Jeff are probably the only people that were here when this went up. We actually went out during school and watched the head be placed on the.
Lou was here. Don't forget Lou. Yeah.
You were here then? Okay.
So was who?
Aaron.
The other issue is the bluestone. Bluestone absorbs a tremendous amount of heat. Everything happening here is happening in the summer. that seat's hot, the brick and the cement when you sit down on it. If you sat down on bluestone, you would burn your butt. And even walking on bluestone, it's hot because of the darkness of the color. That is not a good choice. It is not. It looks beautiful. I can't tell you it's gorgeous. But it's you're not. You can't sit on it in the summer. You just can't.
Okay.
So you need to come up with another solution. And back to who's going to take care
Public
of these?
Public Works.
What?
The Public Works Department.
They've never taken care of it. It's been 60 years.
But once this is completed, it's going to become part of the Public Works Department, and it'll be maintained.
I think it's a pretty low-maintenance design.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the shrubbery.
That's what I'm talking about, too. We asked for low-maintenance shrubs and plantings, and
they
I think
can't even
a
take
lot
care
of the items
of
are fairly
there.
Low-maintenance.
Michael, nothing that's there has ever been taken care of after the first 5 years.
So what do you want to do?
I don't think the shrubbery is necessary. I think it could be mowed. I mean, is it going to look beautiful? Absolutely. I guarantee if I'm alive when this is done that nobody's going to take care of it.
You can't guarantee that.
Okay, put this on the calendar.
It's on the record.
It's on the record.
Jeff Edlund, 40 Pine Drive, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. Little history lesson. In the middle of that, this, as many of you know, it was a reflecting pond. Right? In graduation, we came down the stairs, first person turned right, second person turned left, you went around, you gathered at the other side. As you came down the stairs, pray to God, the person behind you didn't push you into the damn pool. Right? And usually, you were okay. If my history with Roosevelt School and its teachers and how they feel about handicapped people and others who require assistance, I am sure at some point I'm going to say, we have somebody in a wheelchair, here's how we're going to do the promenade. We're going to come across here, go to this path, and everybody's going to walk in that way. And now the person in the wheelchair, let me finish. The person in the wheelchair, every other student in that class is going to be in the same line, coming down to the same place that they have always gone in front of the statue. So
I have an issue, and I'm going to tell you why.
All right. Well, listen. We're
you
not
let
here.
Other people do
well,
that
no, but one at a time. We're not here.
It?
We're not here to have a discourse. Let Jeff finish, and then if you want to raise your hand again.
The thing that you're proposing is basically you have to turn this into a ramp.
That's not what I'm proposing.
Okay, the only way to allow the wheelchair directly down through here is to have that be a ramp.
Okay.
So you can come back up. Anyway, I'll just finish and then I'll sit down.
I totally disagree with that.
But there are numerous ways you can do it if you have something to do. The shrubbery, it's always had a shrubbery. It's been beautiful. It's been, I don't know how old it's been. Okay, 69. So it's been 62 years since that was so. Yeah, the shrubbery has fallen into disrepair. The bricks have fallen into disrepair. That's what happens. But, you refresh it.
And personally, I think it's still beautiful. It was the first line when I had to give out the mayor's award at graduation last week. The first thing I said is, look around, look up. It's gorgeous here. And it is. It just needs rehabilitation. Mary.
I think I
saw
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. I'm just wondering, how many of the mature trees are you planning to take down, those very big oak trees? And
currently, the only trees that we're talking about, there's an existing tree right here that's dead, a few in the woods, and there's really two options. So trees here, we could opt to retain these, let's say these four, and potentially we could even retain these trees here and lance our pathway through and retain them as is. And it would be a long axis that serves the purpose that we need. However, those trees aren't in the greatest of condition, and we are actually proposing as an option to remove these and replant them.
Remove the smaller ones and replant them, the dogwoods, or?
The dogwoods, yeah. We've done this. We've done a cursory evaluation on them, and they're near the end of their life, for sure. And
right. Some of those big ones are oak trees that have been there a very long time. I think there's a disease that is taking out, that took out some on the triangle by Tamara and Pine.
Yeah, bacterial leaf scorch is definitely in the area.
Those are still there. Well, like Peggy was saying, at the graduation, you look at the kids, you look up in the sky, and there are those beautiful big trees that have been there as long as our monument has been there. And, I don't know, personally, when I see that very human plan of trees spaced out, I feel like Mother Nature would never do that. I mean, I guess I just have a different perspective, you know, on it. So I don't like that. All the things like that.
It's manicured rather than
that pathway that's got the trees planted along there.
And I'm perfectly happy to go either way with it, because I'm remiss to remove any existing mature trees as well. And I believe that the axis could work either way, whether we retain them and do some careful editing just to remove these two trees to allow that to function, or if we fully remove the new plant. Either way, I think we have success.
Okay, I agree with you, Mary. I would much prefer a natural, rather than that manicured park look.
Personally, I do too. It's a personal opinion, I guess.
Right.
But also, I'm on the Environmental Commission also, so I have a perspective coming in. How many of the plants are native plants that would support pollinators and things like that?
Well, we're definitely proposing a very simplified planting plan. So we're keeping maintenance at the forefront of our mind here. Our firm specializes in operations and maintenance, and something that we're very well attuned to. And when it comes to this project in particular, we're certainly aware that your Department of Public Works is limited and you don't have all that much support. So we are essentially trying to avoid any type of mowing management other than just your typical turf, so no tall grass spaces whatsoever, no real fussy perennial plantings to be heard of. And we're really solely proposing to just kind of strengthen what's already there. To be quite honest, the only shrubs that you really have on property are Japanese pieris that are located right around here. They're strong, they're prominent, and they really work with the deer situation. So to answer your question about natives, I think that what we can bring in are probably similar plant species. We'll go with cherry laurel, would probably be our prominent component. And then we would supplement with other native perennial plants, ferns, some bulbs if we can, to keep it a very simplified, limited palette that, again, is really focused on easy maintenance. I'm certain that all of our, whether we go with like skip laurels or Otto Leuken cherry laurels or things of that nature, once established, they can really handle a lot of deer browsing, they can need regular watering. And I would say the same for any tree planting I'm proposing as well. Let's just assume that if we do go for the LA, those trees would just simply require gator bags, an irrigation bag at the base of them, and maybe once every 3 day watering. And not a lot of regular horticultural maintenance, certainly not any like master gardener-esque requirements for maintenance. And again,
did you say they were possibly hornbeams?
Yes, potentially.
And what is that, a native plant?
Oh, yeah, yes, it is. Carpinus carolinii.
Okay. Okay, go. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Jed. Jeb Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive.
I just
wanted to remark about the lighting that you mentioned. You said it could there could be a backdrop or uplighting. And as the wife of the sculptor, I assure you that he assumed there would be no lighting and that he absolutely never wanted uplighting. So I could see that you don't want to maybe build a wall behind from the other option that you mentioned. But if you want to light that sculpture, which I'm not certain that that should be done, but if you want to do it, I don't know, is there a way of having some kind of post hidden in the woods behind it so that it can be
downlit?
Yeah. Because that's the only light. He liked natural light or down lighting, but not up lighting.
Okay. And I'm no lighting designer, so I would definitely have to, utilize our professionals that we have.
Well, as long as
noted, and I promise you we'll have plenty of rounds of financing.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin McNally, 3 School Lane. First of all, I'd like to compliment Councilwoman Hairstrom and her committee for all the work that's gone into this. And just to state that, in general, I'm very pleased with the design concept as it come up so far, with the comments being taken. And that's all I really came to say, except I just want to say something about the previous conversation about handicapped access. As someone who's had, unfortunately, a lot of experience with wheelchairs and dealing with people who have difficulty walking in recent years, I find two things. First of all, the assumption I've heard from the previous speakers is that anyone with mobility challenged is only going to be there as a passive audience. And we're forgetting that there may be people who are in a wheelchair or otherwise have mobility issues who may be participants, who may be performers. So you very much need not a solution. Just bring the handicap to the back of the auditorium is not sufficient. You really need to be able to have people actually access. So a musician or a performer speaker could come down into that area, as well as the students, as mentioned. Certainly there could be other options for where that ramp would be, but coming down the center of the auditorium is probably going to be, given the width of the current auditorium, unless you're looking at extending it, the pitch of that path is going to be not feasible for a wheelchair. It's going to be much too steep, and also too steep for people who have difficulty walking.
Yeah,
I'm presuming there will be no railing on those stairs like there is not now.
As it's currently designed, this qualifies as a ramp,
right,
and would need railing.
That would have a railing.
Yes,
but I'm saying with the stairs would not have it. The stairs would not be railed.
Currently, as drawn, they are within code to not require a railing,
right,
as I understand,
mm-hmm,
and we can make a decision on whether we would like to do so or not. But and just to go back to your commentary about, so sure, we've provided access to upper tier of seating,
mm-hmm,
also to the orchestra,
mm-hmm,
and this area, of course, does not have a dedicated pathway. However, it's something that I have considered, and actually the grade from this point,
mm-hmm,
meaning that if we needed to make a decision point to actually bring a pathway over to this, it's absolutely doable, the grades would bring.
My point about the railing, because assuming it was going to be like it is now where there's no railing there, is that, again, there are people who may not be in a wheelchair but have difficulty with stairs.
Well, we have a sizable senior population,
yeah,
here. Right?
Exactly. So that path down, if it's at a pitch where a wheelchair could use it, a person with difficulty walking could come down from that direction as preferable for them rather than using the stairs. So that would be another reason to keep that, to make a handicapped access to the lower level.
And one other thing that I didn't make abundantly clear, it was mentioned by someone else, it's difficult to see, but this could potentially be a future handicapped parking pull-off area along the street. And let's say if it was that long, that could actually accommodate 3, potentially 4 vehicles, and they pull off dedicated handicap parking, immediate access.
We really, Nona, last.
Is anybody else performing?
Okay, last question.
Okay. So what you're saying to me, and as a teacher, when a lot of kids are troubled these days, here's the family. Every person, the family sits here, so their back is going to be to the kids. Or the teacher's back is going to be to the kids because they sit here or here. So that is not a good place for that. Now, you have a handicapped kid, and I know what Jeff said, everybody can come that way, which means everybody that wants to take pictures has to sit here. Because if they're on the other side, they're never going to see the kids because they're going to be walking right into the people that are sitting there. So either you're going to have to move this and put it up here so they can walk past everybody, or you have to figure something else out. Maybe have something coming down the other side as well. Because it really, imagine being a parent, you get there and your kid's walking down and you're sitting here and they're coming here walking into the back of somebody. They're walking into their backs. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I was in the only class that decided we didn't want outside graduation because who wanted to worry about rain? But it just doesn't work because that's where the people sit. So you have the graduates walking into the people's back.
I just want to add that I think that usually graduation is set up on this side.
It's both sides.
Well, but in my experience, it's generally been on this side, and I have a floor.
Well, the orchestra is on
it. But I think this access way is very convenient for performers, for children as well, and does add an additional pathway. The stage area here, the teachers are really excited about having a little stage area where they could do
performance. I'm not talking about the stage area.
I'm not addressing you, I'm addressing the plant right now. The stage area, I think, is an important part. Is an important part of the plan. Because this is going to be used by the school for programs, too. They're really excited about using it for art programs, all kinds of performance kind of things, for practice public speaking by being up on this stage, over here, this small stage area. And the plantings and creating that alley, I think, would add a really dramatic element to it, if we can save some of the trees. I also agree that I think... I like all the trees, and I like the shade that they provide. And as far as the shrubs are concerned and all, we specify low maintenance, and I think there's going to be low maintenance. And I know it's difficult for us to maintain a lot of plantings and that kind of thing, but I think having them mow is something that is a high maintenance kind of thing, because grass grows a lot, unless it's not raining like it is now. But I like a lot of elements to the design, and I think it could be a good project. And I think a lot of work went into it, a lot of input from the committee, which represented a lot of segments of the town. I think we tried to represent and have all the stakeholders, including the original designer, input from the artist who created the monument and other aspects of town. We have also had a lot of letters that were written in support of the project, and a lot of them are school teachers and school administrators who are excited about being able to use that area and have it be used more useful than it has been, and I think a lot of the enhancements really work to that end. So I'm kind of excited about the plan and looking forward to it.
Mayor, before you close, may I just say one sentence? I simply like to point out that all the concern about who's going to be sitting where and how they're going to take photographs is that at every graduation, at every concert, when you walk in there, they're not using permanently embedded seats. They're using folding chairs. So you can set it up on that side, you can set it up on that side, you can put the parents wherever you want. So it's a lot of ability to move around. That was it. Thank you.
Yeah. No, honestly, we're very appreciative. You just have to know, in Roosevelt, there's a lot of opinions. We're known to be opinionated, somewhat judgmental. So don't take any of this personally. It's just everyone's input.
Yeah, certainly.
I don't know if you were expecting that.
I've been to enough public meetings before.
Okay.
But not Roosevelt public meetings, because there's a lot of opinions here.
Yeah.
And good ones, too.
Okay. Anything else?
In Roosevelt,
really
Steve
getting
has a question.
Joe.
It's more just a statement. I think with your plan, you are kind of limited to where you can put your ADA access because of the topography. You know, the ADA requirements are a maximum of a 1-on-12 slope. So every 12 feet you go, you can only rise a foot. And then every 30 feet, you're going to have a landing. And as you say, it's handrails if you're going to use that 1-on-12 for that.
Yep.
If you stretch it out to 5%, you can go forever without having a landing or rails.
The grades, they're really, I mean, we could. It's tough to do.
But the topography does limit you as far as what you actually can do, you know, without making, like, real major changes like switchbacks and things like that.
You hit the nail on the head. We've got our two topo lines here. That gets us 24 feet plus another 5-ish, and we're right under 30. And that's what we've got with handrails. Exactly. And just to comment on the statement that you had about possibly requiring something to come in through here, and it's something that we explored greatly. And any grading through this area is going to be difficult because of our proximity to the existing wood line. We would be gnawing into it a lot of existing tree roots and potentially losing more trees if we do that. That really kind of drove us onto the east side of the property to address that, which made a lot of sense due to the fact that we've got this potentiality for parking access here, very straight, decisive shot, and we really wanted to work with Bert's initial design of having our X and Y axis reinforced. So there you have it. We're going to take this past concept. So this is essentially just a vehicle to allow us to submit our grant application. And then there's going to be a whole lot more of fine-tuning with the committee, with our internal design team, to come up with design development, 60% drawing, all the way through construction documentation and specifications. So with that, if there are real concerns about materiality in terms of bluestone capping, we will absolutely change path. Actually, the bluestone cap was driven by a committee member as a recommendation. So I think that a lot of what we see here, as you noted, is kind of spurred on by the committee and the team as a whole. And what you really see here is a representation of the group.
Just a quick Joe,
and then Bert, and then we really have to move on.
Quick request for the casual use of this property. Could there be checkerboards on the benches? You know, this way people can sit around and just
backgammon,
checker chess, whatever. Just, you know, we can sit down and just hang out.
One of my favorite furnishing providers, Dumore, makes a lovely picnic table, and we could attempt to incorporate that in at any location. I think it would be a great little component.
Well, yeah, it's a casual thing. It's like it's not every day there's a graduation.
In fact, I'm specking some in the State County right now at Lambert Tower in Garrett Mountain Reservation.
I said backgammon. That's what I said. I love backgammon.
I like the box.
Okay, first, and then that's, and then we have to end.
Very little. Well, maybe has a lot to do with this. I'm sure. As I recall, you had a cost consultant on your project.
We are the cost consultants between our LA office and our site civil engineers.
Okay,
we'll be preparing.
Have you done any costing on the project so far?
We have not taken pen to paper fully to a point where I'm comfortable giving you even an order of magnitude number. But it will be coming very soon as part of the grant application. We are on the tip to develop a cost estimate, so inside a month it will be reality.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to close the public portion at 8:45 exactly. And we will...
Okay.
We will move on to our regular meeting.
Play a game of chess?
All right, so next up.
Listen, in Roosevelt, you had one Jew, and you had one synagogue. You had two Jews, you had two synagogues.
And 20 attendees.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Can you send
to you,
Joe?
Yep.
So,
can I? Send it over to Connie. I don't know if I have your email address.
Ellen is. I was. Ellen's presenting the water story. Yeah.
It is.
Okay. In a moment, we're going to have Ellen Silverman.
I will. Thank you. Let him mosey. Thanks so much.
I had to say goodbye to them. Bye, Dave.
If anybody wants dessert,
two Daves. well, it was requested to take a break after Ellen's presentation before the regular business meeting takes place. So, if we could all sit back down as soon as possible, so that.
Take a 5-minute break.
We'll make arrangements. I talked to Alan, and they think it says it's made in China at the bottom, so it's good. Thanks for whatever. No, it does. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I'm kind of pissed that they didn't bring any wine samples for us. Did you want that?
Well,
story is part of Sustainable Jersey Action, and that is an organization that deals with various actions and resources to put it together to make very interesting civil reports about different things. And in this case, it is the water story that we're talking about. Okay. So I do recommend read it. Everybody on the council, I'm sure, has read it already. Tani will talk here.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the PowerPoint is just going to give you the highlights. And it says here, it is a requirement for a Sustainable Jersey Action, and public input is very important for this, as a lot of research has gone into it also. This tells you a little more about Sustainable Jersey. And the reason why you want to have all this research done and put in one place, it helps to inform the council and other people involved in the town about various aspects. You'll go, I don't know, is that normal that it should be doing that? You can go to one place and find the maps, the records, that helps you to determine whether there is a problem or whether, you know, the bright idea you had should be really shared with everyone, because it can really help the town. Now, when you talk about water, there's just so many aspects. You have the surface and groundwater. You have the water you drink, the water you flush down the toilet, and then all that rain is part of the Roosevelt water story also. Okay, now that we get to the pool part, maps. Okay, so, Mike, can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roosevelt and Millstone are the headwaters to two watersheds, and we have all these tributaries that go through. The one that I mostly think about as Roosevelt waters is the Assapink, the Fox Brook. And that tributary goes through Millstone, goes down here, goes to Assapink Creek, goes further out, goes to Trenton, and goes into the Delaware. So that's one of the watersheds. The other one, the Rocky Brook tributary, goes through Millstone, goes through Roosevelt, goes out, goes to Petty Lake, keeps going until it gets to the Raritan, and that's a different watershed. Okay, that gives you the mapping of the two water management areas, the watershed. And as you can see, here we are, starting out where it all begins for the Delaware one and also for the Millstone watershed. Okay. Another lovely map. The purple is streams and creeks that have the FW2-NT design.
that's a great Ellen, but what does that mean? Fresh water two, which means you've got one and you've got two designations. You may have three, but really you don't want to deal with me. That designation. And then you have one, which is your most protected designation. Now, you'll see that you have the purple, but then you have the blue. The blue on Empty Box Creek is the designation of freshwater one. Oh, and Empty is, we don't have trout, sorry. No trout. Okay. So obviously, even though we're designated as a two, really, it comes into Roosevelt as a one. It goes through there and comes out again as a one. This is a political boundary. Those areas are managed by Assateague. They're designated by New Jersey DEP as one. Because they can tell Assateague whatever they want. You're going to have to take care of the stream. It's a one. And then they turn to Roosevelt, and they go, I don't know. I once went there. I had to make a presentation, and everybody asked me a ton of questions. Let's not bring them up. We'll just keep them as two. But what are one? Okay, so surface water. It doesn't only flow in and out of town, but while it's here, it creates a habitat for flora and fauna. It forms our wetlands, which is primarily a good thing, but sometimes not so. We do test our water, have been for 2 years, Mary?
Yeah, well, kind of going on that.
Yeah. Okay. And we send it to the Wetlands Institute. This is our report card. As you see, we've done great in some areas, fair in others, but we did very poor in phosphate average and pH average. Now, I was on a webinar with the wetlands about the reports to their whole area. The phosphate's a problem in a lot of places.
We had our worst phosphate number this past Friday that we've had since we've been measuring.
Is it to do with fertilizer?
You know, that was a question asked at that webinar, and they said that they have to do more research because it... There's just too many variables. I mean, why is the phosphate so high in a stream when you're very close to its headwaters? I mean, where did it pick it up? And I don't know if they've done enough study to know whether the phosphate has developed more as it goes further in. So it's hard at this point to say just what is causing the phosphate level.
And the pH is, because the soil is very acid, it's just known that as well the soil is very acid.
Again, we asked, Mary, you presented that question to your Wetlands Institute contact. And said, well, you know, if you're basing your pH on a trout stream in northern Jersey, it's going to be different than mid-Jersey so close to the Pine Barrens. We have acidic soil. Wouldn't our water be more acidic? And good for humans. We like it. We like to be out there looking at it. We like reflection. We like to write poems about it. We like to paint it. We like to watch the beavers swim in it. So this is a map of that whole trail system, including our wonderful woodland trail. Okay, drinking water. Where does that come from? Well, we don't just go out there and scoop it out of empty Fox Creek. We get it from wells that go down, and we get it for Potomac, Raritan, McGaughy, Aquifer system. And, of course, you don't have those boundaries that end in New Jersey and Pennsylvania starts at that Potomac water. It probably goes all the way through the East Coast like a strike, because aquifers belong in there. Okay. So we've got our water treated, and then you have the tower pumped. It gets pumped in there. It gets nice and cleaned up and aerated and treated really nicely, and then it goes through pipes and goes into your house, and there's your drinking water. And we like to test water, so of course we have to test our drinking water. And we get these reports, and I usually have to get someone to explain what exactly the reports mean. Freshwater rating of one stream. And part of our water story, a big part of our water story, is we have a very unique situation. We have a small town, and yet we own the utility for water. Most people, they're in the big co-op. Walrus of towns, and we know the people who do our water, and that has its pros and its cons. We have an aging infrastructure. We have to worry about that all the time, whether we can maintain it, and what terrible things would happen if we didn't, and council, you got your work cut out for you. Thank God you're a hero. Mallory, who's a very mathematical, very clear-thinking person, has it all set out how many people are and where they're located. We're not calling them out, but we do know you have a well. Hillary Wilder is the person who did the research and compiled the water story.
She's a new resident, Jed, who's gotten very involved with the Environmental Commission.
Yes, she's been very active. Okay. So, another big part of water is flooding. And we had, obviously not in the last couple of months, but we've had a lot of water. We've had more water coming down in the last 3 or 4 years than before. And it's hard to bring in that concept that if you've got several million gallons of water more coming into your landscape, that it's going to affect how it looks and how it's flooded. Well, FEMA is recommending, due to the change in the amount of rain, that the flood hazard map change. And they're adding an extra 3 foot to it. And now there's talk saying that maybe they're being a little too conservative, that it should be more than 3 foot. But here's Roosevelt. The blue is where the old flood map was. And the yellow is the estimate when you add the 3 feet.
Where is that yellow? Is it like in the wetlands? The wetlands will get wetter?
It's like Tamara.
It's saying that they're adding more in the wetlands around Pine. That whole area between Lake and Farm, there's an expansion there, and Assateague. This had already been prone to flooding, and behind Pine had been, but now they're expanding there. And I think that they are using top of topographical maps and saying, okay, well, this is traditional, then we're going to add 3 feet. But I would say that because this area, the lower areas, I would say that 3 feet would have expanded more than that.
I don't think we had a base flood elevation in Roosevelt, actually.
Yeah,
it's just the depth. That they usually you'll have a base flood elevation. I don't think we've ever had one because of where we are.
I wouldn't be at all doubtful of that. I think FEMA just, you know, they took what maps they had. They didn't go out and truth it. They didn't walk and go, oh, this is wetlands. Yeah, I can see where this would flood.
By the way, some of the flooding is due to the DEP not letting us, not wanting to clean up Empty Box Creek. Listen to me, I'm telling you.
I'm listening to you, but can I change the slide, Dale?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so when we're getting to weather-related water, we're usually talking about storm water. And this map doesn't have all of the storm drains on it. But I think it's supposed to represent that. I know there's more storm drains. Well, anyway, we haven't adopted the storm drain
one Ellen or many?
I would adopt as many as possible. I have a few that I think many around the triangle, they would really like you to take care of.
Yeah, I have plenty of room on my schedule.
Okay, here's the summary. You got the water coming from creeks, groundwater, seepage from uphill and millstone. You know, there's been building around the area, like on Empty Box Creek, but also in Rocky Brook. And that, that building will cause erosion, and you'll get things coming into the stream. So you've got that. You've got more groundwater seeping in. You get rain and snow. You have the water that comes up from the ground, the aquifer system, and you use it for drinking water. You use it to garden. You have it for recreation, and you see all this wonderful flora and fauna from caused by the habitat from being close to the water. But you also have the flooding of roads and infrastructure. And you have changes in your woodlands that are changing the woods in some areas to a wetland swamp area, not a wetland forest area. And whatever water flows in eventually flows out. So we inherit problems that come in, but what we do also will flow out and cause problems downstream too. So again, two watersheds. Our water goes into the Delaware and also into the river. Okay, so we have impact on all of these. Now, I'm going to give you a...
Not a quiz.
How did you know?
Oh, no.
I'm going to give you a kind of a recap of... we've had this to public comment at the Environmental Commission, at the certain discussion group. We had it also at a table at the stream cleanup and some other events. And these are the things that seem to be areas that people have commented on and felt strongly about. There are areas of repetitive flooding from heavy rain. You know, they just repeat flooding in that area. And if it happens in your yard, certainly comment to anybody writing a water story about it. People are concerned about the water supply. They're concerned about the impairment of surface water quality. By the way, Empty Box has not been designated as an impaired stream, but Rocky Brook has been. Rocky Brook has a, they call it a TBLM, which is a, which means it's over the daily monitoring level for, and then it'll tell you which ones. And it's phosphate and nitrate for Rocky Brook. which does indicate that it's probably where, you know, different nitrogen products, you know, fertilizer has gone into to the stream. And they comment on the open space plan that they really would like. They like walking by the trails. They like that. They would like more of it because everybody wants more.
More trails they want?
Want to go to more places, you know, places in Roosevelt. They want to have more connected trails.
Really? I thought we did a great job with our trails. She's the messenger.
I don't generally say, what are you crazy? You're to them because that might shut them down. Be right. But I hear what you're saying. Okay. So part of the water story is making a navigational path to. You know, now we have all this information, we found out what people's concerns are, and then you choose action to continue that water story to be more a sustainable unit and to work on it. So that is the area where we are now. And would like more input of what your concerns are and what you would like to see us work. Okay. I have one more water story. Hard copy when you can handle it. And you can take it to bed with me.
I'll take it for my records.
Okay, probably was supposed to say more about this. Oh, yep. So we read the draft. Please make comments. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you would like us to work on. And this is where you can contact us. Or just tell Anna. She knows where we live.
Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, we got a question.
Can I ask just one question?
Sure, yeah.
And I didn't think it was known at the time that the water shortage was developed, but recently the Supreme Court ruled that the Department of Environmental Protection cannot enforce the same water act in certain bodies of water, like the vernal ponds in particular. But also, it seemed to indicate if you couldn't see directly that a body of water was draining into another, I don't know, lake or stream like ours do, they go through another river. But I'm just worrying, does that mean we could lose our protection, the DEP protection of our waterways?
Well, our waterways definitely have a start. They definitely drain here into, as you know, they goes into the Delaware or the Raritan. It is documented definitely they're part of the watershed.
So we should be good then.
Yeah, that, and we do have vernal pools that have been designated really up where, you know, behind Pine Drive. And I always thought, well, the ruling is about that vernal pool thing, because they have a whole different set of protections that were not related to water. That you were mentioning, this, the temporary standing water had different protections. And that would be certainly a shame if that ruling be heard.
Okay, can we, it's not almost 9:30. Thank you, Ellen, and thank Hillary, please. Mike, do you want to take like another? Do we need a quick break, or was last one sufficient?
Just to stretch a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Just
we'll
a
stretch.
Minute.
It's 9:22. So 3 minutes till 9:25. Yeah, wasn't that when I saw that? That was really weird. I don't think we need them, but
a winery in town.
I forgot about that.
And so,
Yeah, I like that idea. And a nice place for people to gather, you know. You know what? It's funny, the worst thing about beers is that when it rains when they're about to pick, it really ruins crops. They dread that. The season when they come, a quick pick will be great.
Okay,
there's a regular meeting?
Tell me about it.
Okay, so let's start with the minutes.
Let's go, okay, folks. Yeah. Come on. We gotta get home.
Yeah.
I know, but it's 9:30 and we haven't even begun.
Okay. So regular meeting minutes.
Yeah, you always do, Joe.
Okay, we're going to resume our meeting in a regular meeting after going out of order.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes from May 1st, 2023.
Do I have a second?
Yep.
Okay. Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yep.
All right. Regular meeting minutes have been adopted. Now the regular meeting minutes from May 15th, 2023.
So moved.
Good. Second? Someone?
Quick.
Second?
I think that was, yes, me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Connie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood, you were absent.
Yes, abstain.
Okay, Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton, you were
abstain.
Absent.
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. All right, regular meeting minutes have been adopted from May 15th, 2023. Ordinances.
This you is skipped this. Over the public comment on the agenda.
Oh, I sure did. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for public comment on agenda items only at 9:29. Mary.
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. So I just had one thing I was going to ask about. When I saw the cost of the emergency roof repair on the water treatment plant, I was just surprised at the cost of that, so I guess you're going to talk about it, but
can
well,
I answer that question?
No, I'll answer. No? I'll answer.
Okay.
So this was being discussed for 2 years, and when it was first noted that we needed that the roof was leaking and it needed repair, we had an estimate from a company that has the state contract, but then it was never acted upon. The council never voted to do anything about it. 2 years have gone by. Now the leak is much worse. It's exponentially gotten worse. And the original company who was going to take care of it, they no longer, well, prices have gone up dramatically in 2 years. So I think we all know that. And also, he no longer has a state contract. So this is his price to repair it now.
Are we going out for bids on it or something?
It's an emergency. It has to be repaired.
I have to disagree with that. It is not an emergency.
Okay,
the
Joe.
Water drop on the
Joe,
floor,
can you?
We
can.
2 years
we
ago.
Can. Right now, it's Mary's. It's the floor is Mary's.
Sorry, Mary.
So
that's okay.
It is an emergency. The leak is. It's a bad leak. Things are being damaged inside. If it starts contaminating the water or anything else in there, we'll have. You know, it'll be big problems, and the DEP will be very disturbed by that, and it must be taken care of now. So that's why.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else? No, it's the comment. No, it's the public comment. Ellen?
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. I had a few comments. On the yard waste collection, are you planning to schedule for the leaf and grass removal?
We've never had leaf pickup.
Your yard waste collection ordinance implies
those are proposed grass.
Yeah.
They haven't even discussed that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But I would recommend that if you're compelled by your ordinance that is required by stormwater management, I'm assuming, to have it, that you set it up that because leaf and grass is fully, you know, composable
on the site. The only reason we've never had it is because it was a very costly expense.
That those charges go to those people who use that service. That's part of your ordinance, that if you choose to have your grass and leaf remove,
the homeowner pays for it.
The homeowner will pay for it.
Okay. Well, when that comes up, it's just proposed now, so as soon as the council
discusses
it.
Yeah, but, you know, if you pass it in an ordinance, you probably want to have it written to where it's more tailored.
No, as I'm saying, your input would be valued at that time when we're actually proposing the ordinance.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's on your agenda.
I think it's on the agenda, but
for discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was moved from the last meeting.
Okay.
It probably will get moved again.
Yeah, probably moved
okay,
to the 17th.
We have at the end of the year to adopt this.
Right.
Yeah. Wildlife feeding, you're not allowing it on our woodlands. However, I believe it is allowed in Assapink, and so we probably need to have signage in areas that are under control of Roosevelt.
Okay. Thanks, Ellen. Anyone else from the public? Mary or Ellen? All right, I'm going to close public comment at 9:34 p.m. So now we come to ordinances. This is the second reading and public hearing of Ordinance 2023-03, an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, Subsection 2-59, Borough Hall Rental.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to have a public comment. So I'm going to open the public comment period now at 9:34 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on this ordinance?
Ellen Silverman, still from 10 North Valley. I am on your ordinance. I'm not so concerned on your requirements, but I am concerned with this room being considered only a council meeting room. It has always been a multi-purpose room. It is a community room. It is, when you have emergencies in town, this is where they're supposed to meet up. And I think there needs to be acknowledgement of that.
Acknowledgement of that. But I think we're all aware of that and in support of that.
You may be, but your ordinance specifically.
It's called the council room. It is,
Ellen,
that's the name.
It was a community room.
Ellen, let me tell you something. We are seriously considering rehabilitating the garage next door, which will give us room for the public and maintain this as the borough.
Lou,
yes.
That is a nice thought, but this is a community room also.
Until such time as it comes to fruition, this will be exactly what the ordinance says.
Everyone's in support of that.
I don't think everybody's in support of this being solely a council meeting room.
We all know this is a multi-purpose room. That's okay. Why we allow events to be held here. Is there something that I'm missing, Ellen?
No,
I think it's not.
Yeah, because it's always been because it's always been called the council room, but it's used for many other purposes besides council meetings.
Has been and will be until further notice.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could.
Might be a scrivener bias.
Maybe we can wait until
the council meeting. Why call it that?
Yeah. Well, did you hear what Greg just said?
No,
he's only been here for council meetings.
Yeah,
that'd
be a scrivener's bias. I just put council meeting room in the agenda.
I understand, but before we change the rules about this room, maybe we can wait until the other room becomes available or right around then or something.
Oh, that's
just an opinion.
We didn't change the rules.
No, we didn't change anything.
We just made
there's a lot of stuff stricken out.
Are we in the council portion?
No, we're actually still in the public portion.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
All right. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak about the ordinance 2023-03?
Keep following along.
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. Well, I agree with Ellen. And is the wording in the resolution, was it called the borough council room?
We've always just called it I've been here at the table for 19 years. We always just call it, it's just called the council room.
That's right.
But it's a multi-purpose room.
You guys want to strike council from it and just call it the meeting room. That's not a substantive change to the ordinance. We could just do that right now if that makes it okay.
Yeah, it didn't change the purpose or anything. We just call it the council room.
Okay.
But we used it for everything.
Right. I think of it as the Tai Chi room.
Exactly.
So
voting, the election room. It's, you know.
It just have a name that is more kind of generic. That
well,
it's
it
not,
is. I mean, it the is the council room. However, we use it for many other purposes.
Yeah.
So.
I have a question.
Well, let me close the. Okay, so I'm going to close the public comment on ordinance 9:38 p.m. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question. Okay.
Go ahead.
Because we are now starting up the Roosevelt Senior Food.
I'm sorry, Connie. When that unit is on, you can't hear.
Because we're starting up the Roosevelt Senior Group, you know, again.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that have changed from before. You know, my understanding is before, this group was never charged to use the room per event.
Right.
There was no insurance for the people that were coming here.
Right.
What is going to be the status now?
I wouldn't think it would change, but I don't know.
You could make it a borough activity. It all comes down to that ordinance is really to protect the borough insurance and liability, right? Our insurance, anyone who's here legally has a permit to use the room as a private group, or if you make the seniors, the Roosevelt Senior Group and the borough buys their lunch,
they're
legal invitees, and then they're covered.
Okay.
The reason that ordinance is in place is because our insurance does not cover damage to our room from invitees, for example. If Lou went over and punched a hole in the wall, that I'm not sure our insurance would cover that because he's an officer of a place that owns the building. It's called an own property exclusion. Like, for example, if you put a baseball bat through your own front door, you can't call the insurance company. They're not going to pay you. So to fix that gap, when private people come in, we don't control who's specifically invited. That's why our cars have insurance. But the answer for the seniors, if you just make it a borough-sponsored activity, they're legal invitees of the borough. They're covered if they fall, God forbid, or something happens. Then we're perfectly fine. And if it's a borough-sponsored activity, presumably you'll have supervision. That ordinance is meant to cover when you have a private person in control of this room and you don't know exactly who they're inviting.
But that's how it's always been. We've never charged the seniors and, you know, it is a borough. Sponsored.
All of these organizations would have to sign on to that, so they'll know what they're getting into.
More or less.
That they have to be a borough-sponsored organization or something. So maybe we can wait until they all know that before we pass this.
No, I don't think so. I think
not just an opinion.
The fact is that we've had damage done to the building.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Private people and organizations both.
I think it's very simple.
If it's a board, if it's a council sponsored
event.
Event, and we approve it as an event.
Right.
That's it. Simple.
Yeah. I'd like to speak about this just for a moment. And we had one or two meetings on it, and we addressed a lot of the issues.
And we cleaned it up.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of public input on this because apparently there's a lot of people who they're coming to me. Don't ask me why. Maybe I live down at the end of the road. They're walking, and they wanted to talk to me about this. There's a lot of interest in it. Some of the questions, and I took notes from some things that people said to me. They had questions about it not mentioning in the ordinance that it's a refundable fee. I don't think it says refundable as part of the wording, but they wanted to know, is this just going to be a fee that's assessed and kept, or is it refundable? And if it is, it should be in the ordinance as a refundable fee.
Well, since we don't charge, it
yeah,
has to be refundable.
I'm just going to go through the list, yeah.
It says refundable.
It does?
It's a security deposit.
Well, no, all applicants are accompanied by a refundable security deposit.
Okay. And what section is that?
D.
D.
I thought we had that all hacked out.
We did. I'm just talking about the public, the questions that people
have. I have a solution for you.
Can I just finish?
Farm Lane, they never bother you.
You know, actually, I don't know. I like it at the end of the road. It's usually pretty quiet back there. Not a lot of through traffic either. They also were concerned.
Through traffic falls off the earth where you live.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. They don't speed right through there. They end up at the sewer treatment plant.
Or they drown.
Yeah. They also had questions about insurance and about their feeling was that, you know, that's kind of prohibitive. The average person who wants to use Borough Hall for an event at child's party or something, how are they going to go out and get insurance? Are we going to enforce that?
But, Mike, that was mandated by JIF. That's not our decision.
No, I'm just talking about what they said to me. So where would I get insurance from? Is there any kind of information the borough could supply for?
You go to your own home.
Yeah, your homeowners.
So for any time you wanted to use the borough hall, you'd have to go to your homeowner's insurance?
That's an option for you if your policy allows that
for
those add-ons. If it's not, the GIF offers a rider for your event.
And they tell you
it's $125.
But what they were saying with this is the net effect is to actually not encourage borough facilities use because it's prohibitive to have to go, you know, call your insurance company and get an insurance rider onto your homeowner's insurance just so you can have a small event or something like that here. And that was their input that they gave it to me, so I'm giving it to the council as part of the discussion on this.
Everybody
it's not our decision at all.
Well, maybe that could be inside the ordinance, or you can check with your homeowner's insurance, or tip off is this for that.
I believe Anna has a printout that she was going to hand out with the applications
She gives you when you come in here, she'll give you a piece of paper that'll tell you everything you want to know.
A checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and she'll give you source.
We asked for a copy of the checklist. I didn't receive the checklist. Do you have it?
No.
Okay. But some of the other input was that 3 weeks prior to an event can sometimes, you know, kind of seem difficult, especially for a death that happens in the family. Where you may have to have a service relatively quickly. And there wasn't a provision in there allowing that.
I think we consider that an emergency and just give immediate permission anytime there's been a funeral.
And
or
that's covered by
like that.
The emergency clause.
We've never denied anyone on the basis of, like, that wasn't enough leeway. I mean, as soon as we know there's a funeral.
You guys never follow that rule the entire time I've been here.
What?
You guys have never followed that rule.
What about
you guys
enough time?
Yeah, it's like the next day.
Well, especially with funerals or any kind of emergency like that, we never say no. Just never.
No.
It's just always permitted immediately.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Can I just go back to Joe's question on F? It tells you that the borough's current insurance requirements for event rentals are available by contacting Borough Hall during regular business hours. you wanted something in there, it's already in there.
Okay.
Is there generally a cost for the add-on of rider for
hey
the
folks,
homeowners insurance?
Let's make it easy. We hacked this out for about months and months. We got
yeah.
it right.
Depends.
Leave it alone.
I know Allstate will just add it on.
Oh, they will? Okay.
They'll just give you a named insured based on your limit liability. But, like, I can't, I don't, I only know that because I used to rent that condo.
Okay.
All the time, and that's why I had Allstate, and they let me do it.
So some homeowner's policy is what Greg was saying, may charge a fee.
They'll just send you a COI.
Some may not, and we'll just cover it.
Yeah, they basically just give you a certificate that has an additional named insured, and then they just put it on your policy. That's what Allstate did. This is my personal experience. I used to rent my condo hall for, like, my kid's baby shower back in the day.
And you have a lot of people have a million dollar... policy on their
I'm
own.
A lawyer, so you know
right.
I do.
I have that on mine, too.
I know all the terrible things that could happen out there.
I have $1 million on my house.
So what
it's
I was going to
suggest...
It's
not like we can't have...
If you want
it's not
to
like
make, we, you want to make a
we can't
come
not
by
have the
on
insurance.
My, not my driver.
Because it's not us doing it.
Right.
So
right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
No, I understand
yeah.
that. But some of the impressions were that were some of the impressions that people said to me is this is an unwelcoming ordinance, and they didn't feel that they this is their opinion that they didn't feel that you know they felt like we were putting
did
a lot of regulations.
Did you explain to them that it's not our decision?
I explained that we were that there are limits to what our insurance policy will cover. And we're trying to protect the town with
some
of
those
things.
No, we are mandated by JIP. Everyone who rents the room must obtain their own insurance.
Right.
It's not our decision at all.
We've been flying by the seat of our pants for a long time.
Yeah. When they found out that we hadn't been doing it, they were very disturbed. And they said starting immediately. I mean, this is really not... Because, you know, we never charge anybody for anything in town.
Yeah.
But it was non-negotiable. They must do it. So I hope you would tell people that
are
it's not
Are we
going to
be
us.
Flexible about that, or is it going to just going to be... It can't
be flexible for mandated.
It can't
be. Oh, I know that, but I'm saying, are we going to enforce it? Or are we going to be lax about... Oh, that's okay.
No, we can't afford it.
No, JIP was very angry.
We're not carrying insurance for laughs, folks. Come on.
Yeah, I know that.
We can't be lax. JIP, we were told in no uncertain terms that... They must obtain insurance, and it was not negotiable and not flexible at all.
And some of the questions I had is what defines original condition? Original condition prior to use, original condition of the room when it was
original
built 50 years ago.
Yeah, right. What is that? What's
obviously,
that?
It's
what? Yeah,
going to be when the room.
But are we going to have some evidence of that of what the original condition was so we have something
yeah,
to compare
it to? Come and take a picture.
If there was damage.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, really, come on, folks. You're going to kill this thing.
Yeah.
This is good. Leave it alone.
Yeah. I think maybe perhaps the person. Or the entity renting the room needs to come when they come to fill out their application to film the room.
Come to look at the room, that's right.
Yeah, and film it so there's documentation.
I mean, as a practical matter, it means clean the bathroom.
Yeah, okay, right.
That's what the employees
are. Well, the word original means that the condition it's in.
No, actually, Greg, they do complain that there's crumbs all over the floor and it brings in ants and junk, you know.
Should that be defined in the ordinance is my question.
I put including cleaning the borough hall, council meeting room, kitchen, and restroom.
Okay.
That's on the application.
I
know, we were at the firehouse in my town.
It's all on the application.
That's what the people...
It's in the ordinance.
Secretary of Fire.
Yeah, I see. I'm reading a section under D.
What page are you on, honey?
Yeah. Having worked on other people's properties in my occupation for many years, people would either have a person there to see people there and say, this is the way it is, we want it to be this way when you guys leave. Like a Boy Scout. But there was always a person there from the house or from the people coming in.
I hear you volunteering, Council.
Yeah, I hear
around here. But this way, there's
how
policing of
how are you going to do that?
You hire somebody for $25 an hour. You're here for an hour when they come in. You're here for an hour when they leave. Somebody pays the fee. Somebody has got to, how do you objectively say this little piece of ceiling tile here is not the same as it was and it's going to cost you a $300 deposit? How do you do it unless the person that is the house person says, this is the way it is, and when you leave, it's got to be this way also. When you take pictures, but if somebody was there to police it, that would work. If there's nobody there, then it's opinion, 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 opinion. It's just the way
it is. I'd like to see it as competing fine. When I wrote the ordinance the first time with 100, it's, you know, these are all levers, right? So the first time you can see it's crossed out. It used to be a $150 fee.
Right.
If you want to reinstitute that, then you can have a chaperone. You know, I have to tell you, this is one of the most generous rental ordinances in any town I'm in. Like, it costs $600 to rent the firehouse in Aberdeen before you get the insurance.
And all this time, there's been no charge. And now, boom, there's a charge.
Well, it's not a charge.
For the people who rent it, you know, right? Like,
right. It's generous, but it's generous because it's traditionally nothing.
What is, but it's still going to be nothing.
About insurance? Because there's only a
insurance, okay, can be on the people that come here.
Right. So there's no charge here, though. It's $300 deposit, but you get it back.
But
that's always
that.
The
problem is, how do you know that this is like the tiles over here? Like the
because we'll ask
I've
the people.
I've heard this because I've been here and done shows here, and after the show, I'll never use the bathroom here because I don't know that I won't do the right thing in there. So, but in here, I've seen the floors buckling. I've seen the ceiling tiles. Like, that strip over there has been there since they've gone up. So if a group comes in here and does a show here, and then after the fact somebody says, but look, that's loose over there. It's your fault.
No, we will ask.
Unless there's a house person here, no.
No, we can just ask the person renting the room or on behalf of the entity that they're renting it to come into the council room and take photographs.
And if we had a public works person here that was good about knowing what the place is.
Well, we don't have a full-time public works person.
Then we kind of need somebody in between. There's going to be a lot of needs.
I'd like to make a suggestion that we that we just keep this hearing open on this and not pass it tonight, and possibly have a short committee meeting to address any of these concerns that have come up from the public and other people. And then we can move on it, you know, maybe at the next meeting.
I just wanted
just
to say,
allow
though,
for time
that
with
the current the concerns of the public, we have no jurisdiction. We have to charge, I mean, we don't. They have to obtain insurance.
Right.
That part is not flexible.
Yeah, but there are other things
right.
in the ordinance that we'd
well,
like to clarify
maybe
before we.
The committee would want to discuss hiring a full-time public works person.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good idea. We could use that.
After performances or meetings or
yeah, I mean, I have to say, it's not so easy to hire people, but if you want to make that, you know.
I'd like to make a motion to table and carry over and keep it at second reading and hearing. Just carry it over to allow us to have another committee meeting to address some of these concerns.
I'll second.
Because in its current condition.
Hold on. So, Joe, second that. I got
to
do a roll call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that is to carry it. If you say yes, then it gets carried. If you say no, then
we're not. It's not being tabled. If you say no, right? But I'm lost at this point.
Mr. Atwood.
Yes.
So yes,
carry
is carry it. Okay.
Mr. Esikoff.
No.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Termel?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance, where am I?
2023?
Yeah, -03 is carried until the July 17th meeting. Not July 3rd, July 17th, 2023.
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
We have worked on this ordinance for 6 to 7 months or more. We agreed, we came to an agreement. Our attorney helped write the ordinance. so that it was easy for everybody to understand and to participate, and for us to follow the book according to the insurance company. As the mayor said on a couple of occasions, that tonight and in previous meetings, it's not our choice, this is the insurance company's choice.
Or insurance company's demand.
Mandate. Okay. I'm really floored by this whole business. We're doing what we do typically in Roseville. We talk ourselves right out of business every time. Go ahead, keep doing that. See how far you get. I'm sorry. I'm really flabbergasted by this. I mean, if somebody has some personal personal reason for doing this kind of thing, go ahead. Listen, any ordinance you write, you can tear it apart to what you just did. I object.
So noted. Okay, we're going to come to the second reading and public hearing of Ordinance 2023-04, calendar year 2023 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank, NJSA 40A:4-45.14.
Motion.
Wait.
Maybe I'd open public
comment. Yeah, open the public comment.
9:57.
Public comment is opened at 9:57 p.m. Ellen?
Ariel?
Thank you. I will close the public comment at 9:57.
I just wanted to add for the public record that we always do this if we haven't yet adopted the municipal budget for that current year.
Right.
And it's needed in the interim prior to budget adoption. The budget's being introduced tonight, should be adopted roughly a month from now. So it's equal to 25% of prior year's budget, and it's just needed to authorize that we can use the money that we already have. We're not putting any extra money in there. There's no extra expenditures. It's just an authorization.
Okay. Do I have a motion? To pass bond ordinance?
Motion to kill this
no.
I mean, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Anyway.
I know.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
We have a motion to kill this one, too.
Motion to adopt Ordinance 2023-04. Do I have a motion?
You have my motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? As Mike said, this is part of our regular business that's always conducted every year before our budget is adopted. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2023-04 has been adopted. Now we come to the first reading and bond Ordinance 2023-05. Bond Ordinance amending in part Bond Ordinance number 2022-03, adopted on April 4th, 2022, providing for various water utility improvements in order to increase the appropriation, therefore, by $180,000 for a total appropriation of $525,000 and to increase the authorized bonds and notes to be issued to finance a portion of the cost thereof by $180,000 for a total debt authorization of $525,000, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. And I just want to say that the public hearing is going to be held on July 3rd. No, yes, I'm sorry. Let me start over.
The
public hearing will be held on July 3rd, 2023, at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt. Now, do I have a motion?
Why don't you do that when it's your water sewer?
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Well, no. We have to move it and second it.
I'll make a motion to move
2023-05
at first reading.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Is that Lou?
Okay, Lou. Now,
Can I just give a little preface so that everybody knows what this is about, and then Is that all right? This is an amendment to a prior ordinance where we funded road repair work and some infrastructure work to Pine Drive between North Rochdale and Tamara. So it was that section that we already have a funding instrument in place via 2023-03.
So this is Pine Drive Phase 1.
Yeah. Right, Phase 1, right, correct. And what the borough engineer later recommended that we add a sewer line, replace a sewer line there because of the condition of it. And I don't think we funded sewer in the original estimate. So what we're doing is we're funding up to an additional $180,000, which is that sewer line work. However, we did authorize bonds already. The bonds are overestimating the project cost. We don't anticipate using the whole $180,000, but you never know. If you run into things, you might need it for sewer repair. So this is just to do that, and we're under the gun with this, so we kind of have to move on it.
So this is sewer line?
I think so.
Yes.
Yes. Water line was already funded.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, again,
and
public
once again,
hearing.
Right, July 3rd at 7 o'clock.
At Borough Hall.
33 North Rochdale.
You got to be the whole
thing. I know, Avenue Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555.
Same place every time.
Now we come to first reading of Bond Ordinance 2023-06. Bond Ordinance providing for various improvements to North Valley Road, appropriating $470,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $238,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. Do I have a motion?
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion?
And a question.
Uh-huh.
This is being because of drainage or water issues?
Mainly drainage.
The drainage problems.
Mainly drainage, yeah. We have a grant. We received a grant, $232,000, for that already, for North Valley Road.
Now, it's a point that has to be made that it's like we do have drainage going through the properties on North Valley Road. So when Granola's OEG comes up with a solution, what does that say for the existing drainage that's our drainage on North Valley Road?
Tie that into it. Pick it and approve it all.
So legally, it's kind of, we're going through their property now. Are we going to remove any of that?
This bond partially pays for the design of the project. So when the borough engineer gets down to designing it and is doing those kind of calculations, if there's any private easements or other rights of entry or things that are necessary, then we work together to do that. So she usually calls my office and we work together to do that.
Because also, all of those houses, or most of those houses, have sidewalks that drop out the woods.
Yes. Well, now would be the time to chime into the storm drains.
Yes. Also,
that's the whole intention.
Yes, but also at the triangle, and Steve knows this also, all the water is running down from comes into a catch that feeds the water as well. So the design has got to encompass all of this stuff. This is kind of the world.
Right, you guys
will
have had a discussion with Carmella.
And that's her job.
Was it last year or whatever? So
Fred Carmella and neighbors.
I know that Carmella is acutely aware of those issues that are out there, and
I understand, but I bring this up because we had brought this up two or three times. People on our company, and it's like, no, it's all, don't worry about it, it's taken care of. until Cameron came out with Stephen with a flashlight and they could see what it was. So it's not just a puzzle.
I don't think she tossed it off. I think she turned it over to Cameron to.
All right, so it
cost $500,000 to fix, so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, that definitely wasn't available unless you built this thing. But I mean, we have maps of that whole area. The whole, I mean, that's been. She knows about it. So I promise you that. Yes.
So when does that come up again?
Yeah. How does it come
when
up again?
When does that drainage issue come up again?
So this is finance. Then Carmela goes out, and
right.
It's called face mapping. So you'll see people, her survey team, Ted Pivovarnik, will be out there with the lasers, and then they know which way, they basically map down to, you know, a tenth of an inch, which way it's all sloped, so that when they profile the road and they repave it, they know where the water's going to go. Then they follow it from there into the boxes, and where's it going to go from there? I suspect that her design will include basically a bypass that will just stay in our right-of-way to solve the problem that you're referring to. But at the end of the day, that the engineering to figure out what the final solution is to what Joe just described, this is what's paying for it.
This
so when she
pay for it.
Yes.
Okay.
So when she comes back and does, you'll have to bid it, you'll have to vote on the contract. Oftentimes, Carmela will come before bidding the project, or Cameron's been here before to talk about, like, this is the problem we found and we need what you want to do. Do you want Greg to go get those easements, or do you want us to build it down the right of way? You know, that's when it usually comes up next, when you guys actually start talking about where it's going.
And the only other thing about the drainage there is where the drainage pipe comes out now. It's under the Davis Lodge.
Did you say is it or it is?
It is under the Davis Lodge.
So do we have to get their permission?
That's not my department. I do people, not beavers. You have to talk to the engineer.
They're very friendly beavers.
They're probably friendlier than most of the people I deal with every day. But
they are so friendly, they'd be happy to talk to you.
So second reading on July 3rd?
July 3rd, yeah.
You're going to represent the beavers?
Yeah, they're very
well, they have
friendly.
Insurance, that's the question.
Well, I don't care.
There are residents, too. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Esipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
And again, the public
The public hearing,
hearing
will be July 23rd, 2023 at 7 p.m., Borough of Roosevelt. 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555.
Okay.
Come to resolutions. We have one, Resolution 23-63, Introduction of the 2023 Municipal Budget.
Yes.
Mike, do you want to say anything? Well, let me. I need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah,
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay, Mike, did you want to say a few words?
I know it's 10 o'clock. But it's the budget, and so it probably would only take about 5 or 6 minutes or so. But Finance Committee met on the 13th, along with our Chief Financial Officer, George Lang, and Lou was there, and Joe was there. And we had a good discussion overall about how we're doing budget-wise and what we're looking at for this next budget. We have almost a 99% tax collection rate, which means that people who have properties here, they're paying their taxes,
exactly.
which is really a good thing. Because
We have not had a tax increase.
No,
sale.
2 years ago we had one.
Huh?
We had one 2 years ago.
Yeah, we have them all the time.
Our water sewer budget is in good shape, basically because of good management of both plants, keeping costs down. We're generating a surplus there, which we didn't have in years and years ago, before they operated the plants.
We're doing some surplus now.
Yeah.
I keep my fingers crossed constantly that John Holden and Mike Lyons won't retire, won't leave us.
But so things are going well in general.
One of the bigger kicks was the fire company and the first aid squad.
But I'll get into that because I think that's an important point Lou's making. So water sewer is in good shape. Our revenue stream, 99% on tax collection. That's great. We do have a bunch of bonding that we're doing, as you're well aware of, because there they are. And, you know, it's money that's financed over time. It will eventually be iBank funded, which sometimes you get 30-year bonds on all the sewer stuff. Pretty much you don't need any down payment for iBank. The rates are favorable, and sometimes you get forgiveness of some of the capital that you borrow. I'll try to go quickly. The 40-year farmer's home loan is paid off. We paid off that, and that was for the sewer treatment plant renovations that were done
from
1992.
Years
ago. Yeah, from 92, correct.
Yeah.
So that's paid off, but of course there's always debt that's coming to take place of that because the facility's still there and it needs repair after all those years. Trickling filters, and we'll be budgeting for that within the next 3 to 5 years. Estimated around $2 million, could be more. That'll be financed through a 30-year bond. So there are big expenses coming up in the future. But we don't have any deficit in the water sewer utility fund. That means we have no limits on the debt that we can borrow, which is good and bad.
Yeah, yes.
But it's a good thing when you need to borrow the money. They're not saying, well, you can only borrow this much.
And a very good rate.
Yeah.
And the best rate available.
It really is a testament to how well the utilities are run that there's no deficit at all.
Right.
I mean, we're in the plus. I mean, that's just, when was the last time that's happened in Roosevelt?
It was a very long time.
We're always running backwards.
Yeah.
You know, we take short-term instruments before we actually bond. They're called BANs, bond anticipation notes. And that's through our local bank, and we have a good relationship with them. But I have to say that was around a 0.5% that they were giving us. Now it's up to around 3%. So interest costs are going to go up on debt instruments.
Well,
because
but when you consider that the banks are charging 5 and 6%, we're doing pretty well.
If you look at it historically, 3% is cheap money.
That's right.
It is going back, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's always been, we've always had very good relationships.
Yeah, and Lakeland Bank.
Very good borrowing problem.
Yeah. And Lakeland Bank, who George has a good relationship with, is giving us really good rates.
Right.
He
seems to have with a couple of people, which is a very enormous advantage for us.
The big hits in this year's budget, fire and first aid services with our contract with Millstone, is going up to $132,000 for fire and first aid. That's up an additional $30,000 plus. So that was the big increase. That went up $30,000, and you got to make up for that in the budget.
But again, on a question
on that, Mike, will it go up 30 again next year? This is
this is Lou said it right. This is kind of it because we're up at the same. We're going to be taxed according to property value,
right.
just like Millstone is.
Right,
so
right.
It's equitable in a way that right. We should get charged according to.
And I also just like to say that, you know, there was a lot of concern that residents were going to be billed for first aid visits, and that's, you know, and they assured us that they wouldn't, and no one is.
We wrote it into the contract.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Maureen's
people were still
written into the contract. So.
Yeah. Well, people were still nervous that, whatever the insurance cover, they'd be responsible for the remainder, and they would be dunned,
They should read the contract. It's very explicit.
They're accepting assignment on all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
on any insurance.
Yeah.
They're not doing.
Well, I worked that out with them before. Right. They assured me when we were working on it that would not be.
Some other things that were discussed and some recommendations that came out is the committee recommended hiring a part-time public works person, if we can, to do some things like the fence around the sewer treatment plant needs to be maintained and the bush whacked back all the time because the woods, once they get in there.
The water plant and the sewer treatment plant and the water tower And the dumping area by the water treatment where we backwash.
And there's a lot of things that a part-time public works person can handle. Setup of this meeting room, which would be great. It would take some of that off of Anna.
Poor
Anna has to come in, break this down tomorrow, and move all this equipment out of there for another group, and then maybe there's another meeting. Is the Environmental Commission coming up tomorrow or something?
Anna tagged today 9,000 steps because Greg doesn't work with Mondays, and she had to do it all herself.
That's why somebody should
9,000 steps.
Somebody should teach people how to do the sound. I'll teach people how to do this stuff over here. That's
we
need
to hire
young
someone,
people to come in so that they
can say young. That's illegal.
We need some
not too young
people younger than me to come in and to do stuff.
Nobody's
like
younger than you are.
Oh, well, let's look who's talking here.
Okay, let's move on.
So recommended we hire a part-time public works employee. That's not in this budget. But just that's the relevance here. We also recommended additional storm drain vacuuming at least once a year to do that.
Well, that's the vacuuming of the storm catches as well as the storm drains. And
right.
That's a county thing. They have come and
municipal.
Yeah, they have.
And they did a good job, if I recall correctly.
They did Mirko Road for free that time.
Okay.
Could we move this along because
I'm at the key point. We did some work on the municipal tax rate. It's looking like it's going up 2.3 cents per thousand. We were shooting for 1 cent. It couldn't be done. I talked to George about it just because of the increases that we had to a lot of different things, including chemicals coming up and all, too, for water and sewer treatment. So that averages about $43 a year in additional taxes for the average homeowner. So that's not a bad hit.
Is that on the water sewer budget or on the...
No, that's on the regular. Regular.
Yeah.
The problem with this is if school taxes go up 9.8%, which I think they are going up, that's about another 20-cent increase on the school end of it. And people are going to come, and they're going to yell at us because we're the tax collection agency. And they'll say, how come my taxes went up so high? And we'll basically do what we really should do is say, well, our taxes only went up 2.3 cents. A lot of it is not under our control. So you may want to go speak to some of the other agencies that are involved. But I think we did a great job keeping it low to 2.3 cents increase.
And Mike, when was the last time we increased municipal taxes?
Last year.
General taxes.
One cent.
But before that, it was something.
I think something like 1 cent.
Yeah.
It didn't. We're keeping it really tight, and especially in a year when the school has to raise taxes, you don't want the old 1-2 punch in a tax bill. So we at least could keep ours low while they have to go up 9.8%. So that's where we are. And we'll have
the only difference is the major difference, I think, is the fire and
first aid.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we were running the same as we did last week.
We looked at the interest. We asked them about the interest rate that we're getting on our float time on our accounts that we have. We're only getting about a half of 1% interest, which is low since interest rates have gone up. He's going to try to renegotiate and see if we can get better insurance rates on all that money for the float time that we have before we have to pay our bills. And also we hold school money, a significant amount of it. So any interest is better than hardly any. So he's going to work on that. We talked about salaries and discussed an increment there. So I think we did a good job keeping everything, considering everything's gone up. If you go out to eat, a burger is now $18 in a restaurant, you know, and you're like, is this a mistake? And it's like, nope. So everybody's raising prices on everything.
And an extra 3% if you use your credit card.
Yeah. That ticks me off. But anyhow, public hearing, as Peggy will mention, is July 17 because we have to go.
28 days.
Yeah, 28 days before. you know, having the public hearing and passage of the budget. But I think the committee did a hell of a good job really digging in and looking at things. So thank you, Lou and Joe and our CFO.
Thank you.
Councilman, how many of the roads have been done here in the last 6 years? More than half?
About 3/8, over a quarter of the
roads. That's incredible. That's terrific.
And we're lining up for the rest of
right.
it.
Right.
You guys do it at like, every time I come here, every year, it's a 50% clip because you use the grants every year.
Yeah.
And I know not all of you, I told you, like, you got a really special town here. And the way to preserve it is that you have to keep putting
infrastructure.
Towns like this go out of business because they get an expense that they suddenly can't pay. So it's just vital to keep it. You guys have done an unbelievable job.
To think in six years
that all the roads will be less than 15 years old and the pipes underneath them in the town sets this town up for the next half a century rather than facing all of a sudden everything blows up at the same time.
That's why we're here.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we won't be here to reap the...
We'll
be heading out of town in 2 years when the trickling filters come out. And so, you know... It's all okay now.
We'll all rise up from the cemetery to feel good about what we accomplished.
Yeah, so that was the finance report and the budget introduction item. Won't have a finance report. Thank you.
Okay, and the public hearing. Do we vote?
Well,
we didn't vote, right?
No, we didn't vote. I do have to adopt the introduced or approved budget.
Right.
So are you ready, Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, a public hearing will be held on July 17th, 2023, at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. Okay, we come to the consent agenda resolutions. Resolution 23-64, payment of bills for June 19th, 2023. Resolution 2365, resolution authorizing the execution of an agreement with Megan Ann Bennett of Dilworth Paxson, LLP, as bond counsel for the Borough of Roosevelt. I'll give a quick little, Megan Bennett changed firms. That's what this is about. She is
no merger.
The firms merged.
That was the one on Bond Street at Red Bank?
Gluckworth.
She's no longer with Gluckworth, whatever the other two
names were. It was Gluck Woolrath on Worth
Avenue. Right.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
And
now she's
with
it. Resolution 2366, authorizing a shared services agreement with Millstone Township Board of Education for electric, HVAC, and mechanic services. Resolution 23-67, resolution approving shared services agreement with Monmouth County Board of Health for the provision of local public health services. Resolution 23-68, resolution awarding emergency contract for the repair and or replacement of the leaking roof of the borough's water treatment plant. And resolution 23-69, resolution authorizing temporary emergency appropriations, number 3.
I think we should pull 2368 out of dispatch.
And discuss it separately.
You're making a motion to pull 2368?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on. And second?
I'll second. We'll discuss it separately.
Okay. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Sorry.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Yes. And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
The consent agenda minus resolution 23-68 is adopted.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay.
Excluding 2368.
Excluding 2368, which
second.
We removed for separate discussion.
Sorry.
I know it's late.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, we're going to repeat consent agenda minus resolution 2368, which is resolution awarding emergency contract for repair or replacement of the leaking roof of the borough water treatment plant, which has been pulled. I have a first and a second. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Second.
No, I have a first and second. Sorry.
You want to be a third?
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, now we are on the table is Resolution 2368.
All right.
Okay.
I would like to state that we have been aware for 2 years that the roof is leaking. In 2 years, the roof does not repair itself. It only gets worse. It's a real problem. It is leaking into the water treatment plant. We cannot take a chance that it has gotten worse. We can't take a chance it's going to contaminate the water or any of the equipment or anything else. It's been 2 years. It's getting worse. We need to have it repaired immediately. And so that's why I authorized emergency repairs. By waiting 2 years, we lost the ability to hire the, lack of a better word, repairman who had a state contract, and the price has risen. And so we have to do this before the leak gets any worse, before the DEP takes umbrage at this, and also before the price goes up any more or anything else is damaged. And so I authorize, this is actually ratifying the authorization that I gave.
May I speak?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the head of the utilities committee. I just gave a tour there last week, I think, Ellen. You guys were last week. We walked through the water plant. I did not know that there was an emergency there. Maybe I just can't believe my eyes. I spoke with John Holden, the man that runs the water plant. I said, John, did you know that there was an emergency here? And he says, no, I did not. So here we are, two of the people that actually run the water plant, but we did not know that there was an emergency that we would have to vote on it tonight. Also, I went back and I looked at some of the old records, and I see that these people 2 years ago gave a bid for $11,000 and $15,000 separately, one for repair and one for replacement, and that there were two other companies that gave bids. One was $18,000, one was $15,000, one was $16,000. So,
well, one of the ones...
So it's interesting that it's $30,000.
Well, no, there's like a reason that's what I said, because
well,
he no longer
last
has...
Year. This was last year
yes,
that it was half the price.
Right, Joe, and we didn't do anything about it.
And I'm walking through the place, and I don't see any major, like it's got to be done today.
Well,
and
we
the
were
guy that runs the place doesn't see that either.
Well, we were...
Who called it an emergency?
I called it an emergency because we were contacted, I believe, by Carmella, who said that this leak is getting worse and worse.
I have the new
worse.
Business, the unfinished business here from 2 years ago, and Carmella's saying we should basically, like, maintain it, clean the leaves off
but
the
roof.
But
it's getting worse.
I've walked through there often enough that I see the patch on the floor where the water drips in, and 2 years ago it might have expanded by an inch or two. So it's not that much worse.
All I can tell you is that
I will make sure that you receive... Not this time. I think we should do this, but it's like, let's do it in a proper way.
Well, it's already... No, it's already been authorized. It is...
Who authorized?
I did.
The council?
No, I did. I have the ability and the right to do that. And
so
I was told...
So you call it emergency, the guy that runs the utilities doesn't call it, I as the person
Joe,
who oversees it
I received an email telling
so
me
you
that
can
this
do
was...
This financial
Joe,
stuff
I'm speaking...
All on your own.
I'm speaking right now. I was told this is an emergency, that it's getting worse.
Who told
that
you
if we,
it was an emergency?
I'll send you all the emails tomorrow. I did not know you weren't included on the emails, but I can send you the email chain where I was told that this is a problem that is being exacerbated weekly, that Greg is up there cleaning the leaves all the time, a few times a week, and it's not every day that he works here. He goes over there, cleans off the leaves. Next, it's leaking. The water is leaking in there. And before
was there
we
last
can...
Week. I don't see any leak. I see where it leaks occasionally when it's like there's standing water on the roof.
Well, first of all, you can't even have an occasional leak. It's going into the water plant. This is people's health. and lives.
It's been doing it for two, three.
And because
it's been
we
doing
didn't do
2017.
We haven't
done. They went
done
up and they roto-rooted so the water would
I understand
go out.
All that. I was told
we were supposed to do that last year.
Joe, I'm not going to get into it toe-to-toe
so
with you.
So in other words, the council has no say. You say we're going to spend $30,000 on this, and that's basically it.
It was my right as the mayor to declare an emergency.
Greg, I'm sorry, Mr. Lawyer, is this the way it works? She's going to spend this money that we don't, I don't approve of. I don't know if anybody else on the council does, but.
Emergency contract.
And
emergency
she is the one that constitutes it as an emergency. And I don't know the people that she's talking about that tells her that it's an emergency.
Well, you can it's documented,
right.
So you can review the
as a person who was head of the Utilities Committee, I don't have the right, after all this time, to know that there's an emergency going on. John Holden, the guy that runs the plant, doesn't have the understanding that it's an emergency. If it was a real problem, I think he would have said something to me or to someone. I spoke with him today as well as two or three days ago about this. He had no idea that this was an emergency. And if anybody knows that it's okay to operate the plant in the condition that it's in, it would be John.
I'll make sure you get the email chain tomorrow. But
I mean, in terms of the legal procedure, we've done this before. Channel grinder, the sludge pump.
No, we've done emergencies. I admit that they're emergencies.
It's typically, I mean.
But I'm not saying that this is an emergency. That's just me, and John does not see it, and he runs the plant. He did not see that this was an emergency.
I'll leave that to you guys. I'm just telling you how we got it.
What is considered an emergent condition, an emergency?
It affects the public health and safety of the public. So,
okay.
For example, there's the channel. I think everyone agrees the channel grinder, the two pump, the pumping services, the generator.
John is really proud of this clean water coming out of that plant, and if it was going to be something wrong with the water,
yeah,
he would say so, believe me. You know, when I approached him with this, he's saying, what? All right.
I can't speak real. I just
okay.
tell you
so
what the rules
do
are.
Do we vote on this or not vote on this, or this is just something that Peggy says this is the way it's going to be, and that's the way it's going to be?
Excuse me, I did not just say, Joe, for the record, I did just not say I declared an emergency. I was told that it's a public safety issue.
Okay, so do we vote on this?
The local public contract swap calls on the council to vote on emergency contracts after they're not to ratify them.
Two-thirds of the vote. Two-thirds of the council has to vote this, right?
That's always the case.
Four out of six. Well, four out of six, not three out of three. Or three out of six. Four out of six have to vote on this.
So all six get a vote,
right?
And if it's a tie, the mayor votes. Same rules as always.
Okay. So it's not a financial thing that four people have to vote for it.
Oh.
That's only for bonding or the budget with the full authorized membership. So
right.
For if you had a bond, like for example, those bonds you just voted on.
Right.
If there were only four people here as a quorum of the council, it would have to be unanimous.
So for bonding. Yeah.
For this, it's not. It's just the regular.
Now, this is over the threshold of $17,500.
Correct.
So if this
is
the case, can we send out like bids or whatever you call that? I mean, shouldn't we do that?
So there are different. So the local public contracts law ordinarily requires bids over $17,500. Unless it's an emergency or unless you're purchasing things for, technically you don't actually have to bid, we often do, but for a water system or a wastewater system, those are also two exceptions under Section 5, you technically don't have to bid them, but we usually do, like for the chemicals and stuff like that.
Well, for this much money, which is twice what it was last year at this time, then I would think we should have put it
because they don't know where the pipe goes.
Personally.
They want to be punch through the power
councilman. I'm just the
right.
Put the
leader
drain outside. It's kind of a normal thing.
Right.
I see that.
Here's the email from Anna, which everyone on the council was included in. It's from June 15th, and it discusses the entire water treatment plant and the leak.
And she was the one who told you it's an emergency.
Well, she, along with Greg Defoe and Carmella.
Greg Defoe.
And Carmella.
Carmella, I never heard from Carmella about this, and she's usually pretty good about calling me and saying, we have an emergency here, Joe.
Well, I can't speak to that, Joe,
okay,
at all.
Well,
I only know that I received, we all received this, and I responded saying that it's an emergency, and so.
I'd like to see us try to get a couple more bids on it, just to see if we can lower the cost if it's needed.
$20,000, the difference between this year and last year.
Well, apparently, not very many people responded.
Oh, Anna put out a bid?
I think she did. And then, because that's why she was horrified.
She put out a bid.
Yeah, and she was horrified as well.
She put out a long time, a while back.
How much the price went up.
Well, last year she put out a
She
got no responses.
Right, and the only one who responded this time was this man who, prior to now, had the state contract. And now he doesn't.
So in all that document, just so everyone's aware, the process does allow us to willy-nilly just do whatever. You have to document the emergency in writing to the purchasing agent, who is Anna.
He documents it.
So the mayor declares has the ability to declare an emergency and document the purchase. It's all attached.
It's all right here. And it's all right here.
And then
in
number
the email.
Two, Anna has to document her efforts to try to get quotes or find out that quotes are impractical or people didn't call her back. Like, all that has to go in the purchasing file in order to make
I've heard of no quotes on this, except for this one.
You have to talk to the purchasing agent. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is it's not just whatever. The purchasing agent has to document the stuff that you're talking about. So there's an answer to it, is my point.
What if we vote against this tonight? Can we send out, like, our RFPs or whatever it is then?
Well, it's leaking. And you know it's leaking because you said
I have not personally seen water coming out of the roof there. I can been up to the roof with Carmela, as a matter of fact, on a 20-degree day, and we could see that the drains were clogged with leaves.
I know you keep thinking that's it. They are cleaned all the time. A leak.
Okay, just with my personal experience.
Let me just say this.
Is there pictures?
Yes.
Okay.
There are pictures. The email was sent to everyone.
You all have
clogged leaves.
2017, we sent Route 24 up there, and they put the rooter through, and they made the drain clean.
Okay, here are all the photographs. But I just want to say, yes, clogged leaves are a problem. However, it's a separate issue from a leak, an actual leak. And
the
great
clogged leaves make the roof not.
But
the water stands when it's like it's a bowl.
But
like
I don't
this,
know why
with holes
you're
in it.
But I don't know why you're disputing that the leaves are cleaned off all
it's
the time.
Not
they
an
are.
Emergency. We can put out
the leaves are cleaned off all the time. It's separate from the leak. Does everyone have the email? It's from June 15th. Here are photographs of what the leak is causing inside.
Yeah.
But it looks the same as
two years ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's
Steve
still
and
leaking.
I were up there. We know.
It's leaking, and
so
it's getting worse, and we're getting these huge rains.
On a flat roof, you know, you could have a leak. The hole would be here, and the leak would be here.
Yeah, well, it's leaking around the flashing on the hole in the roof.
I have a flat roof house.
I'd like to see us get a couple more quotes on this, just to see if we can lower cost.
Why don't you check with Anna to make sure that she didn't do that first?
Well, before we pass it, I'd like to see that. And so I'm inclined not to vote in favor of it until we've crossed that bridge.
Well,
it's just quotes. It's not a bid, so it's not going
to.
Yeah, it's just
take
that
a long
time. We don't take action here. Very often, like immediately when things, had this been done a couple of years ago when we were first made aware of it, it would have cost much less money. And the longer we procrastinate, the more the problem's exacerbated.
I think we're pretty good at taking action when it's the right action and when we have quotes and all. But I just like to see quotes.
Well,
you won't see quotes because nobody quotes.
Well, if that's the case, then we want to know that. We want to know that quotes were asked for, but nothing came back.
That's kind of.
Right.
All right, well.
So how do you want to proceed on this, since there's a lot of questions?
Maybe we should attempt to throw out some quotes.
Isn't that in her voice? Didn't she say she tries? In her email, one of the emails said, I tried to get to
yeah,
do
she
it.
Said that.
Can't tell me that there's no roofing.
She said the only one who responded was the man who previously had
the
state.
He's the only one that responded.
Right, except that he no longer has the state contract,
well,
so his price went
point.
Up. And it's
what makes you think you're
going
to get somebody new to respond?
Because people like to have work and they like money.
Yeah, people like to work.
Somebody will quote on it, I think.
Really?
It's a small job, yeah, they'll quote on it.
Okay. So you say.
Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, what do I know?
Okay, we'll do a roll call.
What are we voting on?
Whether to adopt this resolution or not.
Okay.
Do I have a motion?
That's for me.
A motion to adopt. Anybody make a motion to adopt?
Well, if there's no motion, it's going to pass.
No.
I mean, it's going to...
It's going to...
Well, you can make the motions and then vote
no. And everybody say no.
Yeah.
I think people are maybe reluctant to say no if it really is necessary and if we have the right pricings and we did our due diligence in terms of getting quotes and all. So there's just some questions about it still. And
It would be a matter of 2 weeks. That would be your next vote on.
No,
right.
We can't. We won't do this till the 17th. We're going to have July 3rd night. It's basically a holiday. Because July 3rd, we're going to make it a really, we're going to vote on the two bond ordinances and pay the bills and leave, because it's already
yeah.
the holiday.
Well, it's gone for
and
2 years, so I mean.
Yeah, you know, so it will be
another
July.
Another meeting's fine.
It'll be July 17th.
July 17th.
Yeah.
Are you willing to wait?
There's no motion.
There's no motion.
And
no
second, so it's basically dead until we resolve some of the issues, I guess.
Okay. All right. Reports of committee chairs. Council Member Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. Council Member Esikoff, Administration.
I'm afraid. I've been shot down twice already tonight.
Tell me about it.
Everything is going well.
Right. Councilmember Hamilton, you gave your report?
Gave it already.
Okay. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development?
Just a quick statement that tomorrow morning will be our second meeting of the senior group to elect officers, and we had about 17 people that showed up for our last meeting on June 8th, and people said that they would be willing to take the position, so now we're just putting out any other nominations, and you can just elect the officers and start to get the programs started.
That's
decide whether
nice.
It's going to be August 1st or September 5th, whichever meeting we come up with, and just solidify it will be the Tuesday from 11:30 to 2.
Yeah, that's what it was in the past,
yeah,
too.
And I just
yeah.
want them to agree. It's the easiest way to have the slot, you know, all the time.
Right.
So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. And we're still working out, you know, some of the issues on the bank account. And I did talk to George Lang. He's checking into something for me. And hopefully we'll know that very shortly.
Great.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah.
That's
good news. Okay. Council Member Maka, Public Works.
Nothing tonight because I'm tired.
Yeah. I'm losing
yeah,
my voice. Councilmember Trammell, Utilities?
Just a couple of quick things. On the 9th, John Holden met myself, Hillary, and her husband Mike, and Ellen and her son Mike at the water plant. We did a tour for about an hour and a half. You guys know all about the water plant now, how it comes in, how it goes out. And John was very, very gracious about it. Yesterday, or the 17th, day before yesterday, the wastewater plant got, there's a fire suppression system in the chemical room, which we don't really need, but it's in there. We paid a lot for it. And there was a glitch in the system. So we got emergency notices, Anna, myself, a couple other people. So that was interesting. And it was no reason for it.
Today, we got a glitch in the system at the water plant. So it's just interesting to me because the government is now talking about the Russian hackers and all this other stuff attacking utilities. So Anna was nice enough to call the IT guys, and they're going to start checking into it. But there are small embedded computers in these control panels. And they can be, this is how we killed the centrifuges in Iran years ago, because there are certain pieces that these computers control. So we should be very aware of the fact that
hackers,
it's the way it is. So we're going to keep looking into that. Hopefully the IT guys can deal with stuff like this.
Or know whether it was a true mistake or it was hacked.
That they know. Yeah. Well, but hopefully. Two glitches in a row to me is like, well,
you're right.
It's a little different.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's from the water leak.
I've read too many scripts.
Yeah, I do that, did you?
So yeah, we're looking into it, and that's basically it.
My credit card. I tried to use one of my credit cards, and it was denied, and you know, I went into a panic. But I was at a craft fair, so I was like, well, that's like a mobile, you know. Then I tried to use it for at a real store a couple days later, and again it was denied. So then I called the company, and she said, oh yes, we flagged you. She said, we didn't think that you tried to purchase $21,000 for 4 tickets to the Fiji Islands. I was like, what? I have no idea who got my card or how, but they tried to buy 4 tickets to the Fiji Islands.
Yeah, this stuff
sounds nice.
I was like, you know, I said to her, I wouldn't mind
going
there.
The gold,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, go
I said, I wouldn't mind going there, but right now, that wasn't me. She said, yeah, we know.
Game formula at Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Really
Porterboro, can we move?
Yeah.
Porterboro officials.
Ellen, is it really necessary? Because it's
yes.
11 o'clock.
Unfortunately, in a portion. Right. This is about the.
Well, just identify yourself.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. It's about the tree inventory. We do have a proposal from a gentleman who worked in Millstone, Kevin Skybelia, and he will do the street inventory and maintenance, the hazardous plan, but he cannot do the forestry because he does not have that degree required from the grant. And Heather Gracie, who I'll be meeting in August, will do the proposal for that. But I would like Kevin to be able to start on his amount. His proposal is $4,500 of the $8,500. And I do not know how much Heather Gracie will be charging, but I think that is an important part, and I'd like to get him started on that. So if we could have a...
You do a resolution on that to give to us? Or?
This is a... Well, you already did a resolution for it, and
yeah.
You have the grant money. This would just need... I
but
would
the
think...
The forester was far?
Far.
Far.
Yeah. We did a resolution on his...
it's a professional services contract.
So now we'll have to do one for...
Yeah, but you'd have to have the contract to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need the proposal, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give this to the clerk, because she's much better at keeping things than I am. And she's going to email it to me.
Okay.
And then we'll put together
a
resolution.
But, you know, as soon as we can... The reason why I had to do it tonight is because as soon as we can get him started, we have a better chance of meeting the deadline to get the grants.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You just want to scan that thing out so I can do the rest of
it. It was fun.
Okay,
unfinished business to the discussion regarding proposed ordinances for yard waste, wildlife, and salt storage. We will table until the 17th.
Thank you.
If that's okay with everyone.
Can I just say something about that?
Mm-hmm.
So these ordinances are required by the stormwater management rules. They are all written in a
prospective way. So it doesn't assume that the town has a yard waste collection. It says if there's a schedule and an announced pickup, then you're allowed to do certain things. They're all written to your town. So in terms of you guys going through this and changing a bunch of stuff in them, you're really not allowed to if you want to stay stormwater compliant. You can add some stuff, or if you think there's stuff that's more tailored to Roosevelt, we can do that. But in terms of the basic, this is the baseline, what you have to have in place in order to qualify with all the stuff that Carmela's doing with our permit. So I just want to let it, just let everyone understand the background. This is something like I came up with and said, this is the best practice. This is, Carmela got these from the DEP originally. And I made them in such a way, because I know you don't have, like, for example, in my town, I have brush pickup twice a year. I'd imagine you guys only do it when there's a huge storm or you have some special circumstance. It's written for that. If I'm wrong in any of those regards, take a look at it. But in terms of, the standards, you can't make it, 10 days instead of 7 days. They require 7 days before the pickup, and that's the stormwater, So
this is an ordinance we have to approve.
These are ordinances you're supposed to have on the book to be compliant with the new stormwater management rules that the DEP promulgated. And the original forms of these ordinances, the baselines, you can't put the yard waste out more than 7 days in advance. You can't give people 10 or 14 days. It's not something that you can change. I just want to let you guys, I don't want you to waste a bunch of time thinking, sometimes people put it out 2 weeks in advance. The baselines that are in there, I didn't make them up. It's not subjective.
They're non-negotiable.
Right.
It's a little hard to read in the packet because there's an ordinance in between.
Yes, I noted. I noticed that too. It's one page backwards. That's
what
it
is.
What happened?
Remember that one page that was out of order in that packet?
This one page flipped backwards. Yeah. That's all.
Jeff showed you.
So nobody will forgive me, but you're forgiven.
I just wanted you guys to understand the background.
I'm not
selling you legal.
Okay, sorry about that.
New business. Does anyone have any new business they would like to?
I'm afraid.
No.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring up a couple of things.
Peggy, it's almost 11 o'clock.
I know. Well,
there's nothing new under the sun.
So, July 4th, we purchased 2 grills because H&H is under new ownership. They will not give us grills for free. They wouldn't deliver them or pick them up. So Greg Defoe said he found a great price on sale at Home Depot, very reasonable. It should definitely meet our needs for the amount of the number of hot dogs and hamburgers we need to grill. And he found space for them. So this July, for the first
time. Once we have them, we can rent them out to people.
Or we can have, grill before the meetings start. So, anyway.
When they're not used.
What?
Where would they be stored?
Greg found, I don't remember if next door. I don't remember. At this point.
Because they tend to be greasy.
No, he knows.
Probably in the garage.
He found, he said, I asked him, can you find somewhere to store them that's safe and dry, and he said yes. So we purchased them. So for the first time in eons, we will not be receiving them for free from H&H. We bought them. We own them. So actually, at some of the outdoor events we have, some of the other outdoor events, we can now, instead of buying pizza, we could grill if we want, because we'll own them.
So is this for, you're having a July 4th party?
Yeah, that was my next.
On July 4th?
Always. It's never not on the 4th of July unless it's pouring. So, speaking of that, we need volunteers. I know that it's very important to everyone, especially those of us who've lived here for a long time, that we carry on the tradition of July 4th. And people were really upset when we couldn't have it for the 2 years of COVID. That said, there are no volunteers. Last year, no one helped Eric Schubiger at all.
I cooked.
No one helped him with setup of tables and breakdown of tables and carrying things and carting things. No one. Now, in years past, he has 3 sons. He brought his sons. His sons are much too old now. They're not going with their dad to some, town that they don't know. They're with their friends. We can't have this picnic without volunteers. We need volunteers to help Eric. There were just literally no volunteers last year.
We paid Eric for this, right?
We pay Eric, but he's one man. He can't cart, you know, he just can't do it all. And there's setting up the tables, breaking down the tables, replenishing. It can't, about at least 100 people come. He can't do it himself. We must have volunteers. So I would urge everyone here to please try to help when, you know, at the picnic. And also, if you, the people in RAP, if you could tell the other RAP members, because they always have a table there, if they can, you know, chip in.
Do they have, like, Boy Scouts or anything? No.
Not really.
Actually, it's the first year I've invited to a picnic. I didn't realize it was always the fourth.
It's always the fourth.
Well, I'm only here.
So, you know, so all I'm saying, is, or I'm not all I'm saying, but I'm urging people to please try to volunteer or recruit some volunteers.
Could
or
you
ask
put out a request for people from town to, it might be a good idea,
yeah.
Put out a request for other people. We do a lot. So
have you
try to get some people from town to help out with it. That might be helpful.
Do you normally
we
send
do.
A flyer?
We said
out?
Yes, and the flyer said volunteers needed, and no one responded.
Nobody responded.
No, people want to come and have fun and not work. Yes, it's right on the flyer. So I'm urging as many council members as possible, or your families, or to talk to RAP, to, or Environmental Commission, to please come and help. Okay? And
are the tables available for organizations that you want there to have a table? And
yes, I mean, every year Environmental has a table, RAP has a table, but none of those people helped. They stayed at their table, and they didn't help with the picnic last year, which is why, or, you know, help Eric with setup and breakdown. And, yes, we have tables for anybody who, you know, RAP, Environmental.
Just to talk with him.
Pardon
about,
me?
And talk with him about the tables. Eric.
Well, yeah, you can talk to Eric. Sure. Okay, and then I also just wanted to remind everyone, which has come up a few times tonight, but our July 3rd meeting, which is kind of taking place, you know, the official start of the holiday, we're just going to vote on the two bond ordinances and pay the bills and leave. No committee reports, no nothing. Just
you have to have a public hearing.
Yeah, yeah, but
public
I can't. Yeah, no, but I can't imagine anyone. Would, you know, I mean, you never know. But we're going to try to make this like a 15-minute meeting because it is the holiday.
We have three ordinances, two ordinances and a resolution.
Yeah, and pay the bills. So, okay, that's my quick.
July 3rd,
yeah. So then the next full meeting will be July
17th. Whose committee does the July 4th celebration fall under, do you know?
Peggy Malkin and Eric Schubiger.
No, but I mean, who's what council?
Well, I would, I guess, community development.
I'd like to see us plan, start the planning process way before, because
Eric and I have been planning for months.
I know you have,
months.
but we weren't in the loop. I wasn't in the loop before that.
Because we never, no one ever.
Well, but
helps
it should
us.
Be. Yeah, but it should be brought up earlier at an earlier council meeting, so we can make.
Well, we're able to take care of everything. The only problem we ever have, and it's gotten worse over the years. Is especially it peaked last year.
I mean, I'd like to help out, but I have a whole group of family coming in.
I know everyone.
July 3rd from California.
I know, I understand. But you would be upset if we didn't have the picnic, right? So I totally understand. But, you know, last year it reached its peak when there was just not a single person helping Eric.
Yeah, but I think it would be helpful if it was brought before the council, because I'm not aware of all this that's going on.
That's the only issue. It's not in all this. It's strictly help, volunteers.
That's good.
I won't have to work.
Okay, great. We need an executive session?
No, you have to do public comment.
Oh, you think I need it? All right, I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 11 p.m. on the dark.
Write this down.
No one from the public is here, so I'm going to close the floor for public comment at 11 p.m.
Too bad, you had your chance.
Now, can you read the...
Yes, don't bring the fifth on the fourth.
Okay.
If you want to see the sixth.
I have to read a resolution providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. I'll try to get through with it without screwing up.
My son was good.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter of potential litigation of Roosevelt First State, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated that the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. I need a motion to adopt Resolution 2370.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Escobar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Marker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, we are in, but we have to stop.
Stop the recorder. There's a microphone.